Blog Talk Radio. exposed.
Take a pose.
Sonic Cube.
Come on, baby mama.
room in his stomach. You're now listening to the sound of
I might dance on these niggas with the gun in the butt. The gold jimmies, little mirror, little sun in the clutches. Don't slip up, little nigga, put the sun in your nuts. What? Yo, dude, why the fuck if you trust? You gon' run when I hit you, put you under the pump. You won't run with your nigga, now you're close enough to shoot once it's broke, put you both in the slump, huh? Go ahead, nigga, pop off. You can get your fam and your mans in the shot off. I'ma get the M for your M, blow your top off. Shit funny to the gun in your face. You better run with the nigga, better open the safe. You better come with the money, better show us the weight. I'm gon' come with the gorillas, cause I run with the ace and put shots in your butt like you wanted to kick, huh?
Do you wanna see? Queen Bee.
Tap, 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 tap
Prodigy and James Icon presents What's in the Name Part 2, Saturday, November 10th in New York City. Grand prize, $1,000 for Old Way. Make us believe you're back in the 80s. Grand prize number 2, open to all legendary runway for $1,000. Other cash categories include mini grand prize, open to all streetwear for $300. As well as open to all runway, the casting call for $500, sponsored by the Mocha Center. That's Saturday, November 10th, in New York City. Admission, $30 all night. Tables, $150. The location, the Light Box, 841 Barreto Street, Bronx, New York. For more information, contact Father James Icon or Father Rodney Prodigy via Facebook. Or visit the event page for more info. The House of Valentino presents The Awakening Ball, Saturday, November 3rd in Pittsburgh, PA. Are you ready? Your grand prizes include Butch Queen Runway, The Trickster, for $1,000. Team Performance, The Assassins, for $1,000. As well as Legendary Femme Queen Performance, The Queen of the Throne, for $1,000. Many grands include Butch Queen Vogue Femme, The Battle Cat, as well as Realness with a Twist, The Double Take. Over $7,500 in cash and trophies presented by the House of Valentino. The Awakening Ball, Saturday, November 3rd, at the Hazelwood YMCA. The address, 4213 Chatsworth Street in Pittsburgh. Admission, $30 all night. Tables, $150 in advance, $200 at the door. Your commentators include the Icon Jack Mizrahi, Icon Selvin Khan, Legendary Kevin J.C. Prodigy, and Jukebox Valentino. The House of Valentino presents The Awakening Ball, November 3rd in Pittsburgh, PA. For more information, visit Facebook and the event page for up-to-date info on the event. Over $7,500 in cash and trophies. Get ready, girls.
October 27th, 2012. The CEO and founder, Mother Jasmine Couture, brings to you a new collection. A collection of horror, a collection of mystery and suspense. Come bear witness in the nation's capital, Washington, D.C., as Mother Jasmine Couture brings to you the scariest night in ballroom history, Gagoween. Grand prize, open to all legendary performance for $6,000. The mystery, 666. That's 16 captains, 6 teams, and a mystery femme queen per team, Gagoween. Other cash categories include Butch Queen Runway, The Walking Dead. Open to all but an eye. Designers from beyond the grave. Team Realness. Children of the Corn. Butch Green Sex Siren. The Candy Man.
They're back.
That's right. In a special category that I'm calling The Grudge. Six of today's hottest divas are invited to settle their score at Gagoween. Three grudge matches, $1,000 each, with the grand prize thickening throughout the event. Mother Temptress, the overall mother Didi Chanel, says she wants a rematch at a big ball. Mother Kelly, the icon mother Shay Shay Chanel, says it was only a Wednesday night mini ball. Get over it and bring it to Gagoween. And legendary mother Sasha Garcon and the icon mother Sanaya Ebony, which one of you are the true ladies of Sex Siren? That's right, three grudge matches. Three divas will win, $1,000 each. But how much more will be raised at Gagoween? Find out October 27th in Washington, D.C. For more information, contact Jasmine Couture directly or subscribe to Jasmine Couture's Facebook page for up-to-date info on the event. Over $10,000 in grand prizes, history will be made once again. Gagoween.
Tuning in to the State of Emergency show. This is episode 3, where tonight we'll be talking about how comfortable you are in your own body and your own skin. We're going to be touching up on different topics based on the topic itself. So if you want to be a part of the cast and sit with us, please get call in, press 1, and you can sit with our panel of guests. A lot of people called in and pressed 1 already, so I don't recognize a lot of the numbers. So I'm going to be going to your numbers shortly as I introduce our panelists. And we also have some first-time listeners all the way down from Florida. Thank you for listening. But tonight we're talking about how comfortable you are in your own skin and your own body. How comfortable are you with your sexuality? Do you question if it's right or wrong, the lifestyle that you're living? If you had a chance to start over, would you go in a different direction? And some more stuff. I'm going to talk about some different stuff along with that main topic itself. I've heard over and over from different people how some people said if I had a chance to start over, I wouldn't do it this way. You know, they're not, they weren't too happy with the outcome of the lifestyle that they're living. Is it your sexuality that they're not comfortable with? Is it, you know, is it something else? You know, so those are some of the things we're going to bring up. So before we go any further, let me bring in our panelists, and we're going to see if all these people that are pressing 1 are trying to sit with us or have questions, or are they just pressing 1 because the little operator told them to be in the host queue or whatever. And that's what that means. If you call in and it says, press 1 to be in the host queue, that means that you want someone to bring you on. Otherwise, don't press 1. Just sit there and you can listen to the show. The first person we're going to bring on is one of our co-hosts from London Tea Party. Jason, you're on the air.
Hey, Jasmine. How are you? Hello,
Hi.
Everyone.
How are you?
I'm good.
How's your day going? Well, how was your day?
Oh, my work day was fine. Coming home tonight has been really interesting. A lot of stuff has been going on, but we're not talking about that.
Okay. I want to give a big shout out to Caesar Ballroom Sovac and his team for everything they do for the community, as well as what they did for me for Gagoween. Stay tuned. Shout out to you, Ballroom Sovac, Caesar, Corey, Sean, and everyone else. I really appreciate it. The next caller we have on the line is Vonna. How are you, Vonna?
Hey, Jasmine. How are you?
I'm fine. How's your day going?
Better. I've been sick all week, so I've been trying to just get over this flu. But other than that, it's been actually a pretty decent day.
Well, I hope you feel better.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think summer colds are the worst.
Yeah, and it's pissing me off something fierce.
Yeah, definitely. The next person that we have online is... girl, here you go. Hanging up and coming back. And...
Oh, yeah, Jahira.
Lord, Jahira Balenciaga, how are you?
Hey, Jasmine. Hey, everybody. I'm sorry, y'all. It's a huge lightning storm in Louisville right now.
Ooh.
And I'm off power, and I'm getting it back, and it's cutting in and out, but I'm here, and I'm really excited for the show.
Well, thank you for sitting with us, Jahira. J-Rock, all the way from Texas. How are you, sweetie?
I'm doing pretty good tonight.
This is one of our other co-hosts from London's Tea Party. How's your day going, J-Rock?
Oh, it's going pretty good. I just want to thank everybody that's actually tuning in. We're getting, I don't know if a lot of people know it or not, but we're getting a lot of, like, straight people that actually listen in, like parents. Like, I'm talking about, like, parents that may have questions about, you know, maybe their teenager is going through the lifestyle or whatever. And I got some positive feedback from, you know, last week's show about the, you know, growing up without a father. So I just want to thank them for listening in.
Yes, as always, I said the same thing because I know parents that are listening to the show. Let me see if I know one of them if she's there because I know she wasn't feeling well. I don't know if she's on yet, but where is she? Yeah, she might not be on yet. She wasn't feeling well. She's a big fan of Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night show, and she really loves the State of Emergency show because she learns a lot about, you know, our community. The next person and all the other parents and everyone else that's out there listening, I want to say thank you as well for tuning in. And I also got a letter from someone today, so I want to read that to you guys once I bring everyone on. The next person is another cast member from London's Tea Party. It's so funny how you guys could be a mess on Tuesdays, so you know, laid back on Wednesdays. Hello, Naima. How are you?
Hey. I'm here.
And how was your day?
The earlier part of my day, I was out shuffling around, honey, you know, shooking and jiving around in the city. And then I got an unexpected invite to dinner this evening from somebody I had an eye on. I didn't know I had an eye on me really like that. And then I came on in and everything. So my day was actually kind of good.
Is that when you had to get all up and drag and stuff like you said?
Yes, honey. I
wasn't ready for that because I look at you as a lady, and ladies don't be getting all up and drag. What's wrong with you?
But, you know, I call when I put on my, you know, my stage makeup and, you know, and douse myself in perfume and all, you know, push the tits and, you know, get all every geared up and everything like that. You know, that's what I call getting in drag.
I swear to God,
you know what I
do.
I call it
the same thing. What'd you say, Jasmine?
And I call that tonight's topic, not comfortable in your own body. Okay, let's go to some of the other callers and see if they're pressing one. And then maybe they pressed it by mistake, or maybe Miss Operator is playing games with them, but let's see who they are. The first caller is 323-286, you're on the air. 323-286. You're on the air. Okay, I'm going to have to let you go. Please call back in, but don't press 1. The next caller is 404-444. You're on the air. You're on the air. Okay, you do me a favor and press 1 again. I mean, call back in, but don't press 1 unless you want to tune in. The next caller is 646-266. You're on the air.
So you mean to tell me that you don't have a number?
I don't know your numbers by heart, honey. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's Shade is the name of the game, this quarter. Is that what we're getting?
You know, I don't focus on Monday.
No. First of all, because we talk off this radio.
Honey, my iPhone just brings up your face
No.
J-Rock, I don't know about you, but I feel some kind of way that we're the only men on this panel.
Oh, well, thanks for reaching out.
You better say that.
And it's just one of our
Jasmine, we're
going
to have to do better.
Not too much, Miss Alexis Clark.
I'm going to have to put a little sticky note on one of these monitors. I wish this little thing would save your numbers, and I get so tired of typing your name by it. Blog Talk. That's what y'all need to do. Create an address book. Everyone else has one. Okay. The next number is 313-808. You're on the air.
Hi, Jasmine. Hey, Alexis. Hey, Anaima. Hey, Vanna. Hey, Jason. And hey, J-Rock. This is Eric.
Hello,
Eric.
Hey, Eric.
I was just calling in. I just pressed 1 because I know that I wanted to chime in on some things, Jasmine. So I just pressed 1 a little early.
Okay, well, I'm going to keep you right here, and we're going to come. You don't want to sit with us?
Almost definitely.
Jason
and J-Rock are complaining that
they're
the only two boys on.
Yeah, well, actually.
Ciao.
Hello.
Not too much, Ms. Naima.
Unless you want to be technical.
If you want to be technical, the actual
girl count.
Ooh.
Well, hold on, because Naima got a dress under, so is she a book?
Thank you. Okay.
You know, Miss Alexis,
I
will get on the 3-train, Miss Alexis, and meet you at your door.
So, sis, did you put on your Pajna Rejuvitone makeup? And did you put on the good hair?
Yeah, well, you know, I got the good hair in my head already.
Oh, okay.
But,
you know,
I just took it out the buns that it was my Princess Leia buns, you know, and just, you know, let it down and everything.
Okay.
All right, everybody. For everyone that's listening to the show and for the first time, listeners and callers, there is also a chat room you can listen to. You can visit if you are listening from your computer. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com/104chop. Spelled out 10 4 chop. And you can see the chat room and communicate and chat back and forth with the other listeners in the chat room. Hello, chat room. Hello, Miss D. Hello, Mr. Man. Everyone else that's in there, thank you again for always tuning in. And everyone else on Facebook and all over. So, tonight I'm going to start the topic off with a letter that I received from someone that when I started promoting earlier this evening, they sent me a letter over really quickly. Unfortunately, they're not able to listen to the show because of the hours, and they have to get up for work, but they say they do love listening to the archives. And again, you can listen to the show on the archives by visiting the website and downloading the archive on your computer or your iPod or iPhone or Apple product.
Android.
Let me read this. Huh?
Never mind. Go ahead.
All right. Let me read this letter. Everybody, if you have a loud background or you're on speaker, please mute your phone so everyone can hear me clearly. But I'm going to read this letter. And I don't want you guys to, you know, be shady or attack. Just listen to what the person has to say. And then we're going to kind of talk about it a little bit. I'm going to leave all that out. Okay. I am not a participant in the scene or even a spectator. But I just want to give my opinion on the topic tonight since I have to go to bed early for work. I am a 25-year-old male. I often question my own sexuality as of late. I had the unfortunate experience of being sexually assaulted by a teenager male at a young age. And I have always carried that experience with me. Although I identify myself as straight, I often wonder what life is on the other side. I often get accused of being gay because I am not the most masculine man and because I have quite a few close female friends. I guess most guys think I am gay, but I do have a lot of gay friends, and I have an uncle that is very close to me that is gay as well. And I am very supportive of gay rights and everyone being equal. While I am comfortable in my own skin around certain friends, I am not comfortable with everyone because I do not like being judged, and it takes a toll on me mentally. I often wonder whether or not God has intended for my life to be this way and for this struggle to consume so much of how I lead my life on a daily basis. I'm anxious to listen to the archive tomorrow at work, but I just wanted to say that I really like the season so far. Hold on. Touch up on the subject. Da-da-da-da-da. Okay, and that's pretty much it. I guess he wants to hear what, you know, he wants to hear what everyone has to say about what he's currently dealing with and also listen to other people's experiences and opinions because it's very beneficial to him. Sorry for the long message. Okay, well, it's not a long message. So what do you guys think about that? And I'm going to start again from the top. That's the way the show goes. We go to each panelist first to give their opinions, and then we kind of talk about it a little bit. So what do you think about that, Jason, and what that listener has reached out and brought up?
That has always bothered me because when I was in school, I would see boys that were straight, but they were feminine, and I would see how they would get picked on, whereas guys wouldn't pick on me but would always be like, Jason, ain't he gay? Ain't he gay? And I wouldn't have a comment one way or the other because I really didn't know the person, but I felt sorry for them. So I really don't, because I'm gay, I really don't know what to say to him other than that if he's comfortable in his skin, that's good for him. Because I know with me as a gay man, there were certain times like when my brother friends would come around because I was gay and I wasn't into putting bikes together and building pigeon coops and all that other kind of stuff, I kind of felt awkward being the only boy in a room full of boys talking about football and stuff like that because I couldn't relate to that. So the only time that I really feel uncomfortable in my skin around certain situations is if it's something that I'm not comfortable with or something that's awkward. Like, I would feel awkward being around a bunch of men talking about football or talking about doing it to girls because I can't relate to that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Vonna, you're next. What do you feel? What's your opinion? Vonna,
My phone was muted. Say that one more time.
Okay. What do you feel about what the caller, the listener brought up?
I mean, it just sounds like, he's confused more about this. I don't know about his sexuality more than anything. I'm not. I can't really comment on because that's not who I am.
Okay. Alexis?
Well, the only thing that I would say I have a problem with, I feel like once he becomes, his question is, he's not gay. But he has a lot of female friends.
Uh-huh.
He's supportive of gay rights.
Uh-huh.
Is he trying to convince himself to me that he's not gay? Because, okay, me personally growing up from the age of 8 to about 22, I was in denial.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Mind you, I've never been with a female. And if anybody's close to me, they know I don't mind telling you I sucked my first dick at the age of 8. I wasn't molested, wasn't raped or anything. But I was in denial the whole time. The only difference was I was still having sex with boys.
So when you say you were in denial, what were you, like, denying? That you didn't want to be labeled as gay?
Right.
And I think that's what he's saying.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
probably, I was going to say that too.
He,
I think that's what
he's saying he doesn't want to get caught up with the label.
Right.
So is he gay or is he straight?
That's why I was confused.
Right, that's what I'm trying to understand. Because
he considers himself a straight guy, a straight man.
He considers himself as straight.
But he has gay sex.
He has gay friends. He hasn't participated in any homosexual activity.
Well, he didn't bring that up.
Okay.
I mean, so we don't know what he is.
Right. To me, this is my thought. Gay, being homosexual, is actually not even in the action. It's in the thought.
Okay. No, I think that's the start.
If that's what you think, then if you think it, you are. Just me. I could be wrong.
I mean, he could be just, like, attracted, you know, to men, but hasn't really acted on it, or he could have, but, you know, it's just like, you know, it's just, you know what I think it is? I think it's more so like, when men are curious, or you have two types of men when it comes to curiosity. You have the ones where, okay, I'll give you a scenario. It's a group of them walking down the street. It's like five or six of them walking down the street. Okay,
right.
Out of that five, okay, and then you the femme queen that's across the street. Okay.
Right.
Whether you real or whether you eating or not or whatever like that, they can't, you know, somebody in the crowd has spooked you, okay?
Right.
In that crowd, if you ever notice, you'll have the main one that's loud. Oh, look at that baggy, look at that dragon.
Oh, hell no, guy. Uh-huh.
Yeah, but the man, you know, all of those type of tea, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you'll have the other ones joking along with him. And then you'll have that one that's quiet, and, you know, and just not saying anything. He's just neutral. He may laugh, he may snicker or whatever, just to make it seem like he's a part of it. But he may be the one to be like, damn, you know, she bad, though. You know, I mean, well, I'm kind of curious, you know. I want to walk over there, but I don't want to because of, you know what I'm saying? So he could be going through the whole dilemma of he's attracted to men, but he want to act on it, but he don't want to act on it for the mere fact that he see how society treats people. And it's like, I'm not ready to come out. I don't want to come out. I don't know if I want to come out. I just don't know. I just these feelings just rushing all over the place. So, you know, but at the same time, he just don't want to label himself. It's just the whole curiosity. Because we're a curious species. That's all. So, I mean, I just think he's just curious, but he's just doesn't know kind of what the next thing to kind of do. He do, but he don't, if that makes sense to y'all.
No, it does. It definitely
sense.
Does. And I'm getting messages that the caller is actually the listener is actually up, and they are writing. So we're going to touch up
hey.
On
hey, Cave.
He can hear you. let me go to J-Rock.
My God.
What happened?
Oh,
you okay, Alexis?
Did you see a pork chop over there or something, Mr. Alexis?
Oh, girl, you know what?
It is breaking news.
Well,
top of the radio show. Go ahead.
Well, honey, you can let me know.
Right, give us the tea. Big
bitch, you
news
sure you
want to
break that news on
no,
here?
No, I will not break that news on here, baby.
You had to get ready.
Oh,
to get
really?
Lift up, get next finger, and exit the church.
Yes, let me go get me something to eat on this one.
I bet you, Alexis, you're playing with it tonight.
Okay, go ahead, J-Rock. J-Rock, what you got to say about being that you an Army man? I mean, not an Army man. What are you, a Marine?
Navy.
Oh, the Navy. Okay, shit. I knew it was something like
he's
that.
He's a Navy.
I'm the Marine, Naima.
Oh, that's a Marine.
I'm the Marine.
Oh, you're the Marine. Okay. I knew it was one of them.
And I'm a sailor. Have you heard my mouth?
No, but I'm shut up. Just go ahead and get
anyways,
it.
Anyways, this is what I feel about the doggone subject. I feel like, you know, I'm thinking about what he has said in the beginning. The thing about it is, this is an opinionated show, so I'm going to take what I think a lot of people, they don't like to hear. Sometimes you know, and I hate when people influence children or something when they know who's going to be a queen or not.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of like when he got sexually assaulted by the teenager when he was younger, I feel like that teenager kind of seen that he was kind of feminine or queenish or whatever and just went towards him to attack him.
Right.
There goes the inner demon. Am I feeling these gay thoughts because I was molested, or am I feeling these gay thoughts because this is what I am? So it's like, to me, it sounds like he's going to always go through that constant struggle of, is this the way I really supposed to be, or
right.
is this the way I am because somebody, like they always used to tell me, somebody had to touch you, somebody messed with you, or somebody, and I used to always say, no, I did touching, ain't nobody touch me.
Right.
Okay. You know, so I think that's what it is. I've seen it as a big struggle in a lot of people that's like, well, I'm not gay, I don't like the labels, I don't like this and I don't like that, I'm free-willed, I'm free-minded, and stuff like that. So I'm like, you know, and then you start finding out that it was something that happened in their past or whatever, so they just kind of make sure, is it me or is it the event that happened?
Oh, you finished your job?
Yes.
Let Jahira and Eric go,
okay.
And then we'll touch up on it. So go ahead, Jahira. And somebody fix their background.
That's not Ema in the kitchen.
No, that's you, Alexa, because you're the one who got up. I've been in my kitchen getting myself something to eat. Mind your business.
I'm feeling
good. Shit out you, because you're drowning.
Jahira?
Yeah. I guess my only point is, why does he feel in 2012 the need to label himself at all? It's just interesting to me that we seem to live in such an either-or society where we like to place people in these convenient boxes for the purpose of classification or categorization, and it's really not necessary to me. I mean, not everybody, you know, not every self-identified gay person is completely devoid of feelings towards, you know, the opposite sex, and not every self-identified straight person is devoid of feelings towards the same sex. So I think, I don't know, for me, labels are for clothes. I mean, I think that he can just come to a place of comfortability within his own skin and define himself on his own terms rather than worrying. That's just my take on it.
Okay. Eric?
I'm so glad you, I guess in this situation, I think I'm glad that I'm last. Because I listened to everybody and what they had to say, and I can relate to the call, I mean, to the person in more ways than anybody on this phone can even imagine. As a young individual, I was molested as a child. And I went through a phase as a kid. I went through that, oh, I'm not gay, da-da-da, so I can relate to him and what he's going through. Even with, you know, the letter, and it's a lot of stuff that I know that he has not said, based on him still grappling with his emotions and with his feelings. The one thing is that he needs to ask himself what is it that he feels,
mm-hmm.
and he needs to accept whatever. If he's gay, he's gay, you know, and he needs to accept it within himself. You know, one of the reasons that I joined the Marine Corps was my battle with my own sexuality. I've dated girls, you know, had sex with them, the whole nine yards.
Mm.
And I went to the Marine Corps under a battle of I'm not gay. You know, I could be around all these men and not get excited and this, that, and the other. And I was, like, happy until something happened in boot camp. So, and after that, even coming home from boot camp, and, of course, you know, I went through life up until my mid-20s hiding who I was. As of only recently have I accepted my own skin. I am a masculine gay man, and I know that. And I accept that now. As far as that's concerned and the individual, I think the main thing that we really need to, he needs to really focus on is he or isn't he? And if he's not, then, hey, you know, fight your feelings. But if you are within your, deep down, if you have these curiosities, just like I think it was what Naima said, that it starts in your mind, if that's what it is, that is what it is. If you have thoughts of that, then that's what it is. You know, as far as fighting it, you're going to fight it and fight it and fight it until eventually it's going to come out in one way or the other. So it's a matter of him accepting it within himself. And as far as, like, being gay, that's when you have your release. And I think that with me, I had my release. And I'm going to tell y'all, I've had my release recently in regards to a few things, because there was a situation that came about that I'm a masculine guy, and I'm a discreet guy. So, I mean, I don't want anyone to know. Very rarely will I have feminine people around my house or come to my house, you know. So when it came to that, when there's a situation came about that the neighbors were watching me, trying to figure out, well, this single man, I've never seen any women come to his house, what's going on? And one of the dudes around my block came to me and was like, Eric, blah, blah, blah. And at this point, I got angry. And when I got angry, I just said, I don't give a F. You know, and I said, this is what it is, and I don't care, and if you respect me, I respect you, I've been over here all this time, you know, whatever, whatever. So my thing to the person is, whatever you feel, go with it, and care less what anybody thinks of you. If you're a feminine man and you're straight, and there's a lot of effeminate straight males, But you know, you have to deal with the consequences by being a little bit more effeminate, and you're gonna take that ridicule. But if you're fighting those feelings that you want to be with a man, and you're feminine as well, then you automatically know you're going to get the so-called ridicule. But that's only going to make you stronger in the long run with strong support. And I think that's what he needs, is strong support, whichever decision that he's choosing. So.
I agree. He did want me to share with him that he did want me to share with you guys that I have never done anything with a guy before. I've had sex only with women, but I've never done anything with a guy before. So I guess it's more of a confusion of I don't know how to go, and I don't know how to go about it because I'm so used to being with women. A lot of his confusion and, you know, a lot of his struggles are, you know, why am I very close with my gay uncle? Why am I, you know, why do I have more female friends than male friends? You know, and it's not why, really. It's why do I only feel comfortable around, you know, these sort of people and stuff, and, you know, not like the norm of, like, you know, Jason saying, you know, the guys that are sitting there talking about football, sports, and, you know, what girl they don't just finished fucking or who they're about to go fuck. You know, little things like that.
Jasmine, okay. I am so sorry to cut you off. But I am about to blow my top.
Ooh, Vonna, I was trying to be quiet. Go ahead.
like fucking serious.
I'm going to be nice,
but I'm going to be real. Like, seriously, this is like, this cannot be like an adult conversation. Like, okay, because whoever you choose to be friends with, whether it's woman, man, cat, dog, all people don't hang with the same amount of people. I mean, the same kind of people. Whoever you hang with or what you do or what you watch on TV does not constitute what you are sexually as a label. Why, because you hang out with your female friends, or why, because you like watching Will and Grace, does that mean that you are, that, you know, that you're fighting something? Like, what question are you asking?
Can I say something?
And that's only me being nice. Go ahead, sis. Go ahead, Alexis.
Okay. And I'm gonna be as nice as possible.
I'm trying.
Which is kind of hard for me, because you know I keeps it real. This is my thing. It sounds like he's not comfortable in his sexuality. He doesn't know who he is as a person. Because granted, you can be with whoever you can be with whoever you want to be with and be who you are.
Hey.
Listen, there's a guy in my class, right? My class knows my teeth. They think I got, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But he's comfortable with who he is in a class full of girls. And he treats all of us like, you know, when guys realize you're a teen, they tend to treat you different. He's not like that. And he, when we going in the doorway, he'll hold the door open. He'll like, come on, Tavy. He'll come, you know, and that's just how he is because he's comfortable with his sexuality. Let me, this is my question. If this was 90, 99, 90, you know, up in that time, I probably would have sympathy.
Mm.
But since this is 2012, I feel like he's trying to convince himself that he's straight.
Can I jump in here?
Hold on. because in this day and age, and I don't know, Eric, let me ask you, because you can relate. Being that you were molested or whatever, regardless, you know what's right from wrong. What was quote unquote said to be right from wrong, right?
Right.
You choose to go against your gut instinct because that was the right thing to do, quote unquote, correct?
My curiosity, I grew up in a church.
Right.
My curiosity as to why this happened, because something happened when I was 18, a guy kissed me. And I knew that I had been straight up until that point. And I stayed away from him for 3 months asking the question, what the hell? Why did he do that?
But did it feel right? When things happen to you, you know instantly whether it's right or wrong.
It felt
now,
good.
If it felt good to you, then you're in denial.
Everything that feel good ain't good for you.
Okay.
I have an addition to what we're all talking about. We're all talking about, you know, him being straight or gay. And I have to add this in here in regards to what he likes or whatever. The thing is that in this day and age with all the sexualities, and I have to say this particular one right here, there is nothing wrong with, if that be the case, even if he has gay thoughts and he likes girls and whatever, I feel like it's okay to be bisexual as well, because I'm going to tell you, when I was in Atlanta, and there was a certain individual I was dating, a guy, and his sister knew that I was gay and was interested in me as well. Unfortunately, I couldn't go with the brother-sister thing, but it was something that crossed my mind at that particular time. So we're talking about being comfortable in your skin or whatever. So I just had to add that in, and I didn't want to take that off too suddenly.
No, but you know what the bigger thing with this is, and I think we kind of strayed away from something that's really important.
Somebody's background is very loud.
That's Alexis.
Yeah, even though I'm frustrated, I am going to bring it back to reality and say this. Before we can go into the labeling and the thinking about who he likes and what he likes, he brought up something in his letter about being molested. And to be honest, you have to deal with that part first. You have to let that go. You have to purge yourself of that first before you can move on to anything minute as far as, you know, who you like and what you want to do and all of that. Your problem is that you're still hurting or you're still going through the things of being molested. So deal with that part first, and then everything else can kind of flow itself through.
Let's see what a couple of the callers have to say about the topic. 443. This is Enrique.
Hey, everybody. What's going on? I just wanted to, I just wanted to say, I know a couple of people that are in his situation. I don't know about the molestation part, but there's, I know a lot of straight men that are very, let's say, feminine, because my mom's a preacher. So, you know, anybody who's into the church, run into them all the time. Now, some of them, you was like, you need to come out the closet, but there are a few that are actually are straight, but they're just very femme. You know what I'm saying? I mean, there's one in particular that I'm just waiting for him to walk a ball. You know what I'm saying? This man is like 30-something years old, but he has like 7 kids. You know what I'm saying? Loves his wife dearly. So I don't know if he doubles on the side, because I honestly think that I would know if he did. You know what I'm saying? But there are people like that. Second thing, he just needs to build his confidence level up, because if people are coming at him, then he must be looking vulnerable. So he needs to clear that up first. Once you have that confidence, I think we talked about this before, once you have that confidence up level, the people are going to be kind of hesitant about approaching you about anything, because you're sure of with yourself, sure with yourself. Another thing about the molestation thing, like the whole, you know, you gave, you molested, because I was also molested as a young kid, and so was my brother, you know what I'm saying? And he's straight and, like, damn near populating half of the United States. You know what I'm saying? So it's not the point. Like, I really want people to get off that you got molested and you're automatically gay, or you're harboring gay things, because my me and my brother, we talk about it to this day. We talk about it. And he says that helps him. I mean, but he's not gay nowhere, no how. You know what I'm saying? But it's just the point, like you said, as long as you have somebody to talk to about it, to get it off your chest, to let you know that it wasn't something that you did personally, or something you did wrong, or something you enticed this person to do, you should be fine. So if he hasn't gotten over that, then he definitely needs to talk to somebody about it, because being molested doesn't make you gay. I'm sorry, I just had to say that. I hear that too many times.
Enrique, now see, Enrique, now maybe I read into that wrong, but you said both you and your brother were molested, right?
Correct. We were.
Okay. Your brother felt like that was wrong. That's not what he wanted. Correct?
Well, it's not what he wanted, because that's not what he was. That's not
right.
what he felt. And,
right.
and it goes back to this whole instinct thing. Whereas I, on the other hand, I went, as somebody said, with my instinct, because I knew. I didn't want to get molested. Not that I get a twist.
Right, I knew.
I liked the guys. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So I liked the guys that did
that,
whereas he didn't. You know
what
I'm saying?
That was my point.
So
that was all I was trying to say. That's all I was trying to
say. My brother was also molested with me, Enrique, and he's not gay.
Exactly. I mean, but did he talk to you about it, though?
I never talked to him up until only a few years ago, and he, you know, we talked about it, and he said, I'm his brother. He still loves me, because he knew what happened back then. So,
but see, that's the whole thing. It's because that's something me and my brother was talking about, because we didn't talk about it until, like, later on in life, too. Like, we were in our, like, late 20s, early 30s. You know what I'm saying? But never once did he say to me, oh, I know that's why you're gay. You know what I'm saying? Because that wasn't the only component there. That wasn't the deal breaker. You know what I'm saying? There was other components in there that I knew that I was gay. You know what I'm saying? So it was just, like, I have a very understanding family. So maybe that's the difference, but I never said that was the reason why I gay, because even secretly, before I got molested, I like guys. I just never told anybody, but I like guys, or I found guys attractive. You know what I'm saying? Because when you're that young, you don't know what's going on, but you know it's not the norm.
What age was this?
What age was it? I was about 9, 10.
I was sucking.
Yeah, and he's my younger brother, so he was, like, younger than me. You know what
I mean? My brother's older than me, and it was around the same age. My brother's a year older, and it was around 9 years for me as well.
I was giving
right.
him an alley.
Okay. Enrique, thank you so much. I'm going to put you on hold, and we're going to come back to you in a little bit. The next, Jason, I know you had to say something. Wait, did you want to say it?
Basically, I don't think it was Ronnie that said it. I mean, with me, I knew that I was gay at 5. I was molested at 12. From 12 to 15, I was molested. And when it first happened, I kind of blamed myself, because I knew that I was already gay at 5. So while it was going on, although that I knew that it was wrong, I enjoyed it because I knew that I was gay. So I kind of, for a minute or two until I got therapy for myself, I kind of thought that because I was gay, that's the reason why it happened. And then I really, really was going into therapy. I found out why it would happen. And me being gay had nothing to do with me being molested. So with Vern, she said that he needs to first before he can do anything else. Yeah, I agree that he needs to go into therapy or talk to somebody about the molestation part first. Mm-hmm. And once he deals and heals with that, he can determine or he'll know from there on if he was gay or he was straight.
Okay. The next caller is 757-310. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. This is Showstopper Revlon. How you doing?
How are you?
Who is it?
I'm good.
Who is it?
Showstopper Revlon.
Oh, okay. Hey.
Hey.
All right. I was listening to the show since the beginning, and what I take on it is I feel like until he is really, really comfortable with who he is, he's going to have problems throughout his life until he really just, you know what I'm saying, like really know who he is. And I've been through the same thing as a child, you know what I'm saying. I wasn't molested, but I knew from a young age I was. But I was in denial until I turned about like 19, until I really came out to my family and stuff. But until I was really comfortable with my skin and really know who I was, I had problems. And I was in denial for a long time. So I feel like until he really knows who he is, he's going to have issues.
Okay. Well, I know he's listening, and thank you so much for calling in. I'm going to put you back on hold. And we have another caller, 201-780. You're on the air.
All right. Good evening, everyone. I just kind of came on, like, when Enrique and other people were talking about the whole molestation thing. And I just wanted to press one because I just wanted to make the point about molestation. A lot of times people bring that up in terms of, it makes a person gay or when a person determined that that they were gay. But, in my experience, molestation is about power. It's about control. It has nothing to do with desire or attraction, anything like that. That is about a person taking control of another human being. You know, so all the people who on the line that shared about being molested admitted that they already had feelings of being gay. So the molestation really didn't make them gay. You know, just like Enrique said, he chose that was a lifestyle from him, and his brother chose that it wasn't. So, again, the molestation doesn't necessarily make a person gay. It's really about power. It's about that person wanting to have control over another individual. And in order for the person to get that control back in their life, they really have to confront that experience and take that power back that person took from them. You know, and, you know, it's the past, but like the other caller said, that's something that they need to talk about maybe in counseling or whatever the case may be. But they need to come to terms with that. That person, took control of them. They try to take that power from them. And, you know, that's the only way they're going to get their life back on track.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, caller. The next caller is 347-286 on the air.
It just really hurt me.
347-286. All right. Everyone, thank you for your input. I have a question, and I'm going to kind of kick it off because we're talking about the molestation and stuff like that. The topic tonight is how comfortable are you in your own skin, and a lot of you brought up that, you know, you already knew at this time. Other people brought up it took me till I was a certain age. People ran to the military to try to think that maybe that would help and, you know, things of that sort. I want to know, and some of you already said it, but I want to know, when did you know who you were when did you first experience what was happening with you, like you knew you were different, than everyone else. When did it really happen? Just answer the question, and then we'll kind of go into it. But Jason, I think you said it, but just say it again. When did you know that you were different?
I knew that I was different at 5 when I was playing, we were playing the Flintstones in my grandmother's basement, and I kissed this boy.
Okay. Ronna, when did you know you were different?
I don't know when I never didn't know.
Yeah.
It's always been the same for me.
Okay. Alexis?
Honestly, I would have to say, I was young, Jasmine. Like, I was young. I performed my first sexual act at the age of 8. I was in the 2nd grade. I'll never forget that. But I had to been about 5. I've been playing with dolls all my life.
Mhm. Okay, Naima.
I probably would say the same thing. I've always kind of knew that I was different. Even though I grew up in a family with a house full of brothers and sisters and stuff, I just always knew some things happened to me in that house, but I just kind of always knew I was just different from everybody, like something, yeah. And I always kind of knew that I was attracted to boys, to men, even going to my babysitter house when I was young.
Okay. J-Rock?
To tell you the truth, that's always a sensitive subject for me because when you're raised that you're just so wrong and that's going to be hell. But I knew when I was, I have to say I was about 4 years old. And I know that's kind of hard to believe, but I just knew it. I mean, because it was like, I was the one that my little sister was the only girl for a long time with 5 boys. But she always came to me. I dressed her. I combed her hair. I did everything. I knew how to cook, clean. I did everything that the boys did not want to do to take care of the family. And even though my mom and my grandmother was in denial, they knew it because I was just that one. I could do all the boy things with my brothers and everything. But that, I don't know, I just knew it from 4.
Okay.
And especially
you knew
when
it
I,
from when
I,
you were 4.
Especially when I kissed
okay.
the first boy, which was 4.
Okay. Okay, the listener said that what you guys have said, he really, really needed to hear that, and he's just saying thank you so much. Jahira, when did you know?
I'm kind of with Vanna. I don't ever remember not knowing.
Yeah.
Okay.
When I was the fastest story in the world, when I was 19, my aunt, my aunt sat me down and told me that when I was 2 years old, she told me the story of Cinderella. And at the end of the book, the little picture book that she had, she asked me, you know, when you grow up, wouldn't you want to be Prince Charming so that you could dance with all those beautiful girls at the ball? And I said, no, I want to be Cinderella so that I can dance with the prince.
Oh, shit.
Lord, how much?
Well,
okay.
And I was, yeah, so this has been my only reality.
Okay, John, Eric?
I think I realized that I was different, like, at 14. But then that also had something to do with me talking to my mother and her telling me that, just like J-Rock, my mother used to tell me that when I was a kid, I used to always wanted to cook. You know, I was the one that was a clean one or whatever. But that's, to me, the things that I did weren't the norm. But when it comes to the only thing that I think that makes me different, and this is my reality, the only thing that I think makes me different is what I do in the bed, you know, from a regular guy, you know what I'm saying? So that's, you know,
mm-hmm.
I guess that's how I feel about it.
Okay. Somebody's background again. I'm going to start muting your back. I need to see who's listening before I start talking, because, you know, that may be
Well, that's train noises, Mr. Lexus.
Who?
All right. Like Jahira and like Vona, I've always known. There was just nothing masculine about me. I've always known, even from my baby pictures and the poses and the hair and everything, I've always known. And I've always accepted. And I never, the only questions, like, and that's also in the topic, is the only questions.
What
Hello?
Happened?
Something
Hello?
Happened.
Jasmine?
Jasmine. She's online. Let me tell you.
Did Jasmine just fall into a narcoleptic sleep?
Oh, my Lord. Did she mute herself?
There ain't never been a bitch. In this lifetime or the next.
Oh, Lord.
Said my ass was too much.
So,
I just inboxed her because she's still on Facebook.
You think our phone hung up or something, or it went dead or something?
I think so. I just inboxed her, but she also isn't writing back.
Miss Alexis, you want to come over here and have some of this Tombstone pizza?
Mm-mm, I just had lasagna.
I had that too, Alexis.
What kind of, was it meat lasagna or was it regular lasagna?
I don't know what is going on, but I
mine was meat.
Oh, hey, Jasmine.
We thought we lost.
They did not want me to share my story.
Ooh.
Don't want me to share my story.
That's a mess. It won't even let me call back in. I'm like on another line. All right, I'm just going to do it from this because I don't know why it's not letting me call back in. Okay, oh, it's my phone acting funny. Let me turn off my phone and turn it back on. I'm sorry, y'all. I got disconnected, but I am on a separate line, but I can't control the switchboard from this line, so I'm going to try to fix it. But like I was saying, I've always known there's no, you know, I never knew anything but this. I didn't feel comfortable. I didn't feel comfortable around girls that were, you know, trying to, you know, kick it and stuff like that. I just didn't. And like, you know, with everyone is saying, as far as the molestation goes, the same thing happened here as well. You know, and it happened for a very long time. And you know, I don't blame that either. I don't blame that, you know, saying that that is the reason. So, you know, as far as people saying, well, that's the reason why and things of that sort, you know, mm-mm. And as far as the listener goes, I think that you definitely need to, like Vonna said, you know, like they said, you need to come with grips on what happened to you, you know, number one, and put that past you. And you also need to do what makes you comfortable because, you know, at the end of the evening, it's all about you. And that's what you need to focus on. You know, and if what you're doing right now makes you happy and, you know, at the end of the evening you sleep okay with it, you can sleep, you know, good and stuff like that, then you're fine. But if you're still having, you know, issues and stuff, as, you know, with yourself when you're alone and everything like that, you need to really find out what makes you happy overall and, you know, search for that. But that's just my opinion on it. Why is my phone carrying? All right, I'm sorry. So we're going to kind of change it up a little bit right here and just kind of go into what you guys feel as far as using the example of, you know, not just being comfortable in your own skin and your own body, but, you know, how do you guys feel about the people who say, if I can start all over again, I would? You know, why do you think people say that? Is it something that you say to yourself to this day? And what was, you know, if it, or did you used to say it? And what were some of the reasons that made you say it? I'm going to start off with Jason again.
The only thing I would tell myself, if the only thing I say to myself is if I could go back in time, I would go back to when I was 16 and I fell in what I fell in what I thought was love for the first time, because that, out of all the relationships or anything that I've ever been in, that hurt me the most. So that if I could ever go back in time to 16, that would be the one thing I would change.
But it had nothing to do with your sexuality and who
it
you
actually,
were
it
as
did.
A person.
It did have something to do. It had a lot to do with my sexuality.
Okay, okay. So your question came abroad because of a relationship, and, you know, you probably was upset with yourself or upset because of that situation, and you maybe blamed your sexuality on that?
Right.
Mm. Okay. Vonna?
If I had to live in regret or think I would have done this sooner than I did, it wouldn't have been not to do it at all. I would have made transition a lot earlier than I did in my life. That's the only regret that I would have. Not that I've done it, though, now.
Okay. Okay. Alexis?
I'm with Vonna. I think if anything I would change, it would be that during my my witchcraft and those days, I would probably have went ahead and got my implants and, you know, stuff like that. But as far as I love my life, I love the person I am. Everything has its ups and its downs. And I tell any girl, any guy, if you ever choose to live this life, you have to be ready mentally, because some nights you feel like, I think the biggest issue with being a transsexual is trying to find love, trying to find someone that genuinely loves you, and that is not just about sex. A lot of times you find a lot of guys will hit girls up, and all they really want to do is fuck, you know? And me, I think it's my zodiac sign, the Aquarius side of me, I get attached very easily. So I tend to just stay away from just run-of-the-mill, you know, those type of people. And if you hit me up on that level, unless it's something that I want to do, I tend to, you know, not even be bothered.
Is Jazzy gone again?
Naima, yes. I'm sorry. I'm here.
Calm down, God.
We keep thinking you disappearing.
Yeah, because it was giving Silence of the Lambs over there.
Who is that munching like that?
I need a blunt.
Oh. I'm just kidding. All right, Naima, go ahead.
No, she ain't.
If I could turn back the hands of time and keep the knowledge that I have now and turn back the hands of time and redo something, I probably would have never became a film queen. And I probably would have never came out. I probably would have rechanged my associates or friends around and never even came out to the ballroom scene, too.
Okay. Since you know what, I'm so glad Jasmine is on this phone, because I would have read the shit out of you just now.
Excuse me?
I would have. Just keep it real.
No, you wouldn't have read me. Why would you?
Yes,
what?
I would have.
Okay, before we start reading Naima, let's see. I like that Naima brought it up, because we're going to go back to you, Naima. We're not going to read George. We're going to talk to you. But J-Rock, did you ever run across that with yourself?
Yes, I'm not going to lie. I ran across that many times because actually, like I said, in my early childhood, like around the fours and all the way probably up to, I say, about the age of 10 when I really got into church, like I actually enjoyed going to church, enjoyed Sunday school, enjoyed all that stuff dealing with church and had mentors. Since my dad died at four, I was looking to male mentors like deacons and stuff like that.
But then I was, you know, feeling like I was wrong, so I think I had kind of shut that down. But I always had in the back of my mind that I struggled with it so long. So, I mean, by the time I got, like, about, I think I was, like, 20 or 21, every time I ever had, like, an encounter, if I just made out with somebody, I really, like, beat up on myself. I mean, like, I felt so guilty. Every time I kissed somebody, I felt guilty. I would drive home, 19 years old, in Corpus Christi, Texas, driving home after going to the club. I felt guilty for going to the club. I felt guilty for looking at a show. It was just weird, and I used to be, like, wanting to be different, and I guess it came with maturity when I went to New Orleans and I met my lover and everything, and he was just like, raw, like, you stupid and you dumb. You need to live for yourself. Fuck that. Fuck what people got to say about you. Fuck. And you know how New Orleans people is. So once he drilled it in my head that, bitch, you are who the fuck you are, you know, and then I started learning about stuff like the laws of attraction, stuff like that, I was like, you know what? I'm not trying to change nothing. I am who I am. If they don't like it, I am who I am. That's all I can be. J-Rock O'Hara Dupree, and I thank you.
Okay. Jahira, did you ever run into those encounters?
What kind of encounters?
As far as questioning it, if you had a chance to start over and go in a different direction, would you?
It's an issue that I debate internally a lot, to be honest. I am, as so many of us within this particular sect of the LGBT community, like, I'm somebody who transitioned at a relatively early age. I was a sophomore in high school when I started my transition. I was 16 years old. And because of the costs that are, you know, attached to performing that kind of chemical and physical transition, and simply just the upkeep, you know, I, along with so many, turned to sex work in order to supplement my income and fund my transition. And getting into that lifestyle, of course, with that comes drugs and pressure and things of that nature. And so it kind of detracted from my schooling. It detracted from the things that, you know, the average 16-year-old person or teenager, you know, is doing. And so in a lot of ways I'm catching up now in areas that I should have covered then. So I do often wonder sort of if I had delayed or if I had, you know, sort of rerouted my focus and my energy, would I be different, in a different social standing than where I'm at now? So, yeah, I do. I wonder.
All right. Eric?
I kind of have two reasons. I'm going to go to the same one as far as Alexis and the witchcraft. Well, I'm a warlock. I was a warlock. I think that, you know, I would make better choices. And the second one is that I prayed so many times to take this lifestyle from me. Cried many a night, you know, but mine wasn't particularly the lifestyle. I think more so it was the ever lasting chase for the love that I was seeking, and my issues were with the lifestyle because of the individuals that I was dating. In retrospect, I actually wouldn't change a thing about my life, you know, because it made me who I am today and the strong person that I am, because, you know, the trials and tribulations and all of the learnings that I got from the life that I lived in this lifestyle brought me to be the person that I am now, and I wouldn't change who I am now for anything in the world.
Okay. Thank you, Eric. That's deep. Let's go to a couple of callers, and then I'll touch up on my portion of it. 646-267, you're on the air.
Oh, hello.
Hello.
Hey, I'm here.
Hi.
Amina. Hey. If thinking back on it, like if I had to change anything, I mean, I'm only 25, but I've been through a lot. And if I could change it, I wouldn't, because growing up, I lived a very sheltered life. and I wasn't able to experience things that most people were, you know, growing up. And I experienced some things late, you know, some good, some bad, and some indifferent. But I think those events that occurred in my life shaped me to become the person that I am now, because I was very timid and I was very shy and I really didn't, I was a pushover, you know. But going through the things and finding my voice per se, it kind of broke that. So now I'm, you know, of course, respectfully, I'm more vocal and, you know, I'm more free with myself, you know. So I wouldn't change it because I think that if anything was to change, I wouldn't be the person that I am now. So for those things to happen, I'm really grateful for that. So it's kind of like, I wouldn't change anything.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, Mina, again, and thank you for tuning in this week again. Thank you. 909-810, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I'm confused because I think I'm a warlock, and I don't know if I am or not.
What the hell?
Oh, my God.
Oh, shit. Okay, why do you think you're a warlock?
I've had those feelings. I'm confused because I worked actually on the Iron Man project with Tony Stark himself.
Okay. So you're, okay. All right.
Okay, Mr. Bryan.
I put a lot of magic into this. I've worked with Thor. I've worked with Otis. I've put in a lot.
All right. Give him a chance. So October 27th, put on one of those costumes and come to Gagoween. Okay, just go to Facebook and type in Gagoween. And you can be Otis, you can be Thor, you can be...
That was iconic. Wait a minute.
I'm gone.
You can even be Wonder Woman if you want.
Watch it.
Come to Gagoween.
Oh, my
next
God.
Next caller is 212-470. You're on the air.
Hello. Hi, Jasmine.
Hi.
This is Janice. I'm a regular listener to your show and everything. And, hello to everyone else, too. I just want to say that I love your show and the topic that you're discussing. As far as me, as a result, I wouldn't change anything about who I am being a transgender woman, you know, because the past made me who I am now, molded me, and, you know, I learned a lot. So I would definitely wouldn't change anything.
Okay. I got you. Thank you so much, and thank you for tuning in again. I really appreciate it. 917-982, you're on the air.
Hey, everybody. This is Patricia.
Hey,
what y'all doing? I don't know who's all on here. I tuned in like late. I was in the middle of doing something, but I did want to come on and talk to y'all about that because I think this is a good subject. But what's the question? Would I change anything?
Yeah. Do you ever question your lifestyle as being right or wrong? And do you ever say to yourself, if you had a chance to start over, you would go in a different direction?
I believe that everybody is here, and it's like God made all of us, and all of us for different reasons. I know that I transitioned at 16, but when I was as a country boy, I'm going to say, I wasn't comfortable in that skin. Because back in those days, if you remember, they were stag bashing back then. And if you got clocked as far as being gay, period, you were going to get beat. So I was always scared of that. But I always passed through as being like a dyke, or they just thought about stuff like that. So, and I used to sit like in the front of the bus and not in the back of the bus, you know, stuff like that. But then when I found, when I was introduced to 42nd Street, and I saw my first queen, which was Moldavia, that's when I found myself. And then I found, you know, the hormones, and that's what made you grow breasts and stuff like that. And that's, I mean, I found me from there. The only thing that I would change is the many of years that I was out there on the streets doing drugs, because, like, to be 40 years old right now, and I've wasted so many years out on the streets, that's something that I would change. And I would have finished school like my mother wanted me to. My mother really had wanted me to be a butch queen. That would have been right up her alley. She used to be like, everybody know I only had one child and it was a boy or whatever the case may be. But my mother always loved me, and she supported me whatever I did. She used to buy me bra, panties. She gave me gowns and stuff for balls and stuff like that, too. She loved me as her child. Did she 100% agree with the lifestyle? No. But I guess that's just about it. But I wouldn't change. Only thing I would change is the many years that I was out there wasting life and wasting time.
So life with you, and I think Jahira said the same thing. The only things that you guys would change is just some of the habits and things that you came across.
Yeah, because I wasted so many years.
Yeah,
I wasted a lot of years out there, in La La Land in space. I was in space, honey, because trust me, I get thrown down and high every day. So, like, I miss a lot of years. But besides that.
Now, let me ask you, Patricia and Jahira. Because you two brought it up, do you think, or do you ever, and just a simple yes or no question, Jahira first and then back to Leticia, do you blame your sexuality for the drug intake and stuff that you were doing at that time? Jahira?
My issue was one more of gender identity, to be honest.
Okay. And Leticia?
Well, I was always like this since I was younger, honey. I was always like this. As a child, me and my cousin used to go, like, after school, we'd go inside his room and play inside his mother's clothes. And, my aunt would call it playing punk. She was like, tell Mary y'all in there playing punk, and we'd be in there, up in drag. You know what I'm saying? I didn't even know that there was a such thing as a man that looks like a woman. I was always attracted to men for some reason. I don't know. I was the only child, single parent, home. My mother did everything to make sure that she wasn't on welfare and food stamps like that. Like, she was always a working woman. I always seen my mother working and working hard. At that time, I didn't understand what she was doing. To make a better life for us. To me, all I always saw her doing was working a lot. And I was, at my aunt's house a lot of the time. But besides that, that's it. But I was always like this since I could remember. Like, I was always feminine. I don't know. Some people were born with more female hormones in their body than male hormones. And I was just like one of those people. I took after my mother a lot. Like, I looked like her. I took her genes strongly, like, because she took, some parents, they know when they're pregnant, they could tell, they know if they feel like they got to have a boy or a girl. My mother always thought that she was going to have a girl. She had a girl's name picked out for me, and it took her 3 days to come up with my name now. You know what I'm saying? It took her 3 days for that after I was born because she thought that she was going to have a girl. So,
all right.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much, Leticia. I'm going to put you on hold. And if you want to come back on, press 1. And if we have any callers out here that want to tune in, want to be a part of the next topic and want to chime in, please press 1 as well. And if you are telling us what you're wearing to Gagaween, you can press 1 too. 202-470, you're on the air.
Hi, everyone. I just wanted to know what Naima was
going to
say.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
I just wanted to know what Naima was going to say about her regrets, because she never got into that.
Yeah, we're going to go back to Naima in a second. Thank you so much, caller. And we are going to go back to Naima.
Y'all want to hear me get ready?
Yeah, we really do. As far as regret, as far as my sexuality and me saying, I wish I just was never this way or whatever, no, that has not happened. I have ran into issues where I questioned, if it was right or wrong, and I questioned it only based on certain issues that I was facing, like, you know, like Jason said, relationships and stuff, you know, at an early age and, you know, things of that sort, you know, I'm never going to find happiness, I'm never going to find true love and things of that as well. But, and I maybe blamed it on what lifestyle I was living, but I also knew that I couldn't, there was nothing I could do to change it. I did not want to change it. I was comfortable with it very much so. So, again, when it came to the heart and love and seeing everyone have, you know, girlfriends and boyfriends and everybody's talking about their relationships, you just kind of feel a little bit out of place. But I think somebody also brought up, I think it was Amina, that she wouldn't change who she is either because she, when she was young, she was very shy. So was I. Very, very shy. Didn't want, you know, we sat in the background. I think I sat in the background a lot because I was shy, but I was so observant. I always just can look at a person and read them so much. But, you know, being very shy, not wanting to go to the club, not wanting to, you know, go to the club and just sit in the back, things of that sort. One thing I do say is, actually, when I was out on my own, being a part of, you know, the community, when I lived in Atlanta, you know, around the Passion Girls, and I lived in, you know, New York, around the ballroom kids, that changed so much. That gave me that whole, I don't give a fuck attitude. I am happy. There are other people out there that are like me. I am very comfortable with it, who I am. And, you know, maybe not feel embarrassed about anything. It made me not be shy. It made me, you know, it made me not be so, you know, keeping my mouth closed and so soft-spoken and stuff. So, again, you know, it's always been a comfort level with me, and I wouldn't change it at all. You know, other things in life, like, you know, they all brought up the drugs and things, you know, the crap magic and things of that sort. Yes, I think there's a lot of stuff we would change about ourselves because of the things that we've experienced in life and the brick walls that we hit. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff I would change about that. But as far as the sexuality goes, not at all. So with that being said, Naima, what makes you feel the way that you feel?
Here we go. Because with the different experiences that I had went through coming in the scene and then, you know, and then in transition and things like that and this lifestyle living as a woman and everything like that, you know, I'm telling you, if God would have come to me and gave me the power to say you could go back in time and transfer and, you know, change something, this I would change it. It's an experience and it's definitely a life changer to live your life as a transgendered woman in this society that, you know, is that you're under constant, under a microscope all the time. And the reason why is because I went through so much. I've had a hard life, but I haven't had a hard life, I'll say that, without getting into it and being long-winded. But I have, but I haven't. But I just wouldn't, because it's such a struggle living like this, because this is a lifestyle. You do it. If you want to go for it, you go for it. Now, the one thing I will say to my mother, as a gay man, my mother was all right. She was all right with it, okay? My father, like I said, he wasn't really in my life, so it was like whatever. When I became drags, and I was hiding from my mother, stuff like that, you know, it was a lot. Because I was, you know, getting in drags, walking my category. I was going to go hoeing. And, you know, I was just doing a lot of things. And the next thing you know, I started moaning and the tits came. And my mother's like, wait a minute, okay. I'm the only one in here that's supposed to have a coochie and titties. And something you want to tell me? And I told her, I was like, no. And it was this one particular day, you know, I had came from D.C. I was out hoeing and everything. And it was a Sunday morning. My mother was getting ready for church. And I happened to pull up because I had my own car. So I pulled up, but I parked across the street. She wouldn't be paying attention to a lot of shit. So I was across the street. So I didn't go in the house because I knew she was getting ready and stuff like that, and there'd be a chance that we would cross paths. So after she left or whatever, I came in the house, and I was high this particular day. And I came in the house, and I ate there, and I took all my dragons off. I put it in the bag, and I threw it behind the couch. And I went in my room, and I fell out, and I was laid out till late in the evening, and I closed my bedroom door. And this was the day when my mother knew that I dressed as a woman, because when I opened up my bedroom door, the bag that I threw my, the shopping bag that I threw my clothes in, the grocery bag I threw my clothes, my dress, my heels, the bra and everything, the gilt and everything, she hung it on the door, or my doorknob. And it was like tipping past through the house and everything, and she called my name. She was like, you know, come here, you know, I want to talk to you. So anyway, make a long story short, I told her what happened. So she told me, listen, if you want to live your life as a woman, that's fine. Just as long as you don't get a sex change, I'm good. So I never got a sex change, and then I don't have a desire anyway for a sex change. Now, am I comfortable in my skin to wrap this up? I am comfortable, you know, now with myself, because I'm like, all right, it is what it is. I got a set of $8,000 titties on my doggone chest. It's like, it's no going back now. I am comfortable with who I am, but if I did have the opportunity with everything that I went through, I don't think I would go down this road again.
Okay.
Not too much over there, Jason, in the A-bit.
What are you talking about?
I mean, Alexis, did you want to, you know?
No, we don't need Alexis's rebuttal.
I haven't said a word.
I
didn't even breathe.
Alexis.
And I'm a guilty party. Oh, my God.
Is everyone finished now? Okay. This is my thing. I don't care how late in the game it is. It's never too late to go back, first and foremost. I don't care what you spend money on or whatever. I've seen bitches with pussies go back to being a boy. This is, after all the things, to me, I get upset. Because why go through life unhappy?
Mm-hmm.
If you're not happy, stop. And people didn't just realize today, September the 4th?
27th.
Well, whatever, that they're unhappy.
Oh, no, Jacqueline is in a month.
Bitch has been unhappy for years. But you kept going. And like I said, the only thing that I regret in this lifestyle is the craft. I would have spent my money wiser. I'm not saying I wouldn't have did it. I probably would have been a little smarter with it. Because if you realize everything happens for a reason, regardless of what happens, good or whether it's bad, you do things for a reason. Things happen to you for a reason. So all that was a learning experience for me. It made me a better person, better than what I was. But for people to say, if I had the chance to do it again, I wouldn't do it. Well, bitch, what you keep going for? But you got a bottle of estrogen in your drawer. Why are you still going?
Well, let me ask Naima a question.
Oh, here we go.
If you don't mind answering, Naima,
go ahead.
And I'm not asking in a shady way or nothing like that. I just want you to share with us. When did you start the transition? And after the and why did you start the transition?
That's a good question.
And if it's not too much, the last one would be, and after the transition was started, when did you realize you were unhappy?
Oh, all right.
When did you start?
When did I start getting in drags was...
Oh. Yeah. When did you start? I'm sorry.
1997?
Okay. And why?
Okay, yeah. Because 96 is when I started getting in and out of drag, because I graduated in 97 from high school. So yeah, it was 96, because I came out into the ballroom scene 94 going into 95, and
okay.
I was
and
just
why
walking.
Did you do it? Why did you do it?
You know, I've always been cunning. I've always been feminine. And when I came out to the scene, I was a Butch Queen Vogue femme. But then the first house I had joined, it was like, bitch, you know what, bitch, you Vogue femme. You know, you should get in drags. And see, you know, see how it is.
So
and you know what it was?
So you, hold on with it, Naima.
Wait a minute, Miss Alexis, because see, you get ready to overtalk me and think I'm getting ready to say something.
You
get ready to try me, because I know what you get, but you're not going to do it this time on this line.
I'm trying to ask you a question.
When I got in drags, okay, I got life. You know, I vogued, I got my life and everything like that, whatever. And Enrique can attest to this, what they used to call me in Baltimore when I used to vogue for in drags. And then what happened was, I got out of it. I was like, all right, it was cute. And then I did it again for my birthday. And then I did it again for Halloween. I was just like, oh, bitch, I like this.
Okay,
when I
so
started,
that's the drag part. But when did you transition to, okay,
to
now I want
to
be a woman, yes.
2004 is when I first took my moonshot.
Okay.
2005 is when I became 24/7.
Okay.
Right.
And when did you start realizing that you didn't like it no more?
When I started realizing I didn't like it is when I kept, after I started losing jobs because I chose hoeing over going to work, or I chose getting up in them, and going to my friend's house and staying in my friend's house and sleeping on the couch and stuff like that, disobeying my mother and going to balls and doing other things, is when it kind of was slightly taking a toll on me. But then when I lost jobs and all I had left was hoeing, because then now I done got pumped and shit like that, that's when it was just like, oh, shit, this is real. And then in my mind, I felt like, all right, well, you know what? I'm here, you know. It's like, girl, I done got this deal. I make money, but it's just like I was so foolish and careless with the money that I was spending, stuff like that. I wasn't thinking about, well, let me invest to get the deal out.
And that's what I want to touch upon. Did you do the transition to becoming a femme queen because you wanted to continue with the art of prostitution and stuff?
No, I continued it because I got life, and it was, and I kind of felt like, well, maybe this is what I was meant to be at that time. That's why, you know, I had did it. And even like now, because I've gotten so comfortable, I'm like, you know, it is what it is. Maybe I was probably meant to be a woman or whatever case may be. I mean, shit, it's here, it's done. And you know, I'm the type of person where I just adapt to it, and let's, you know, shit, I'm going to do it. Let's do it.
Okay, I got you. Now, go ahead, Alexis.
So, my question to you is, you became a female not because you wanted to, but because people made you feel like that's where you were supposed to be.
No, it's not even so much
that's what you just said.
No, because I said the drags is because I got life.
Oh, exactly. You
started
with...
Hold on, Jasmine.
You started doing drags. See, this is... I don't know if we had a show before we went on summer break where we were talking about why do people actually become girls?
Yeah, we did.
Is it because of ballroom? Or is it because
mm-hmm.
of that's what they feel like on? And see, you weren't you, and I'm not trying. Please don't you ever take this for a read. You became a female because you didn't feel like you wasn't a girl on the inside. You wasn't a female trapped in a boy's body. You became a female because you was getting life. So you have people who become transgender because that's what they are.
Mm-hmm.
You became a female because the girl said, oh, Miss Thing, you are eating it, Miss Thing. Bitch, you are turning it. And you got life.
And maybe that's the reason why you don't feel
right.
Beautiful.
See, that's
the reason
why you would make that change.
I would think right. that. Yeah, because you don't hear a person like, you know, myself, because I've always known. You know, I kept saying to myself, there's something wrong with this body. This is not the body I'm supposed to be in, even when I was young.
you know, I didn't want nobody touching me down there. I didn't want nobody looking down there. My mother used to say, child, I gave birth to you. Why are you hiding or closing the bathroom door? Go ahead. Go to the bathroom. And she's in the mirror doing her face, and I was like, Ma, I got to go to the bathroom. She was like, go ahead, you know. But can you go out? Let me go to the bathroom. I didn't want her looking at me, you know. I didn't want her, you know, it was just, I wasn't happy with who I was. So I knew what I wanted to be. I knew what made me feel comfortable. And if you didn't have those type of feelings when you were young, and if you didn't have those type of feelings that I am a woman inside this body, then 9 out of 10, you would not be comfortable with who you are now. And
but
like
see,
we did have a show before about the girls who do it for getting life, the girls who do it for the ballroom scene, as well as that's why we get the over-enhancement girls a lot, because of the ballroom scene, as well as the girls who do it for money. And we get the over-enhanced girls because of the money issues and stuff like that. But those are the people that we have to ask. Are you comfortable within your own body? Because you seem like you did this for only those reasons.
But
go ahead, Naeem. I'm sorry.
But also when I was young, but I was really, 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 really young or whatever, when my mother would go to work, sometimes, y'all go kid me, but sometimes I would play in her skirts and her dress. I think the one thing about me is...
We ain't going to kid you. We all did it. Go ahead.
The one
yeah,
thing about
I mean,
me
I
is
did that.
That.
I
right,
played
that's
my
what I'm saying. I don't think that was the woman... Go ahead.
The one thing about me is, like I said, ever since I was young, I've always been small framed, always been cunny. Like, out of all of my other six brothers and my four sisters, I've always, because I'm the last one, I've always been the most, the cuntiest one. I was the closest one to my, and I still am now, to this day, closest one to my mother. And I've always did the feminine things or whatever, you know, like, even though I had all my brothers, we all lived in the house and everything like that. Even in school, my mother used to dress me up in, like, preppy clothes. And I've always just had, like, a life of people just always wanting to comfort me, ridicule me, always call me gay and fag. So I thought I was that. And then sometimes when my mother would go to work, because my mother's a fellow federal police officer, sometimes when she would go to work, I would, like, you know, put our little dresses on and jump around when nobody's home. But I would jump around in her little clothes and her little, you know, do little cunny stuff or whatever, like they're playing her makeup and stuff like that, and I would hurry up and get the stuff off or whatever, you know, and put the stuff back or whatever. That's when I was really, really, really fucking young. And then even, like, the boy across the street, when I used to live on Oakley Avenue in Baltimore, I used to play with him a lot, and then, like, we would come over there, we would do a little bump and a little grind, and then sometimes, you know, I would be like, well, you want me to put on my mother dress? And I would put this on, and I would just do little shit like that. So when I came out to the scene, and it was like, oh, bitch, you know, you should, I was like, oh, yeah, bitch, okay, fine, because I could always knew how to do hair. It's just something that just snapped. It was like, all right, and it's just what it was.
Enrique, you're back. I see that you pressed one.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Naeem, I see there's a lot of girls that are in your very situation, but so did your mother ever have talks with you about what it is to be a woman or how a woman acts? Because I think, Jason, I can use an example. Well, you probably know it's Shannon. You know Shannon, Laura.
Mm-hmm.
You know Shannon? Now, her mother, like, she's another girl to me that's always been cunt from the very beginning. Always been cunt. And so when she came out, her mother gave her name. Her mother and her sister told her what it was to be a woman, how to act like a lady. And that's why I think she's the way she is. You know what I'm saying? And to me, I always joke with Shannon. I'm like, Shannon, like, when you're around the gays, you know, you give very fag hat teas. You know what I'm saying? Which I think is funny. And it's even more relevant when she gets drunk, if you guys notice. Like, she came to Baltimore lately. And when she gets drunk, it's giving very fag hat teas. You know what I'm saying? So I can understand, like, sometimes she'll come in and she want to go to balls, but she really tries to put a distance between her and balls. But she said it draws her back to when she first began, and that's what all anybody will see. They don't see her as a woman. They just see her as a femme queen, and that's not what she wants to live her life as. You know what I'm saying? So I'm not saying that's right or wrong, but I kind of think that if your mother kind of guided you, because, like, my parents kind of guided me into the type of homosexual that I am, you know what I'm saying? Because I think we all, as little boys, wanted to play in our mother's clothes. I remember when I was young, me and my brother, just couldn't tell my age, but these were on repeats. Anybody remember the Carolinette show?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, remember the character Mrs. Higgins in the and the Boss. Anybody remember that?
Yeah.
Okay. Me and my brother used to play that. We played that for 2 months straight until my mother caught us and told us that's not the right thing to do. Not so much to my brother because he was being Mr. Wiggett. Like, he was the man, but I was acting like the girl. And if anybody remembers that whole skit, it was just a key. And that's what I did. I did it for a comedy thing. And I made a mistake and performed it for my mother. My mother looked at me and was like, really? Like, really? This is not, I mean, if you're going to do it right. She also the first one who bought me my first, what I call a flamboyant outfit. If anybody remember what Kazakami was back in the day. Like, they had, like, very androgynous clothes. So she put me in these tight pants and these Cosmic shirts that was, like, cut off to the off to the side or the shoulder, flashband thing. And then she stuck me down. My grandmother lived off of Poplar Grove in Winston. Everybody knows what territory that is. And that is in the hood.
Mm-hmm.
So she dropped me off down there. And she was like, well, if you want to live your life this way, you need to start early on how to handle it. So after a day of that, I never wanted to put on a femme clothes, piece of clothing ever again in my life. Because when I told you, they gave it to me, and I didn't like the way it felt. So I kind of got out of that. Now, I could have went the other way and got life on it, you know, because it'd be a center of attention. But I never really was the type of person that wanted to be the center of everybody's kiki. You know what I'm saying? So it kind of, I kind of thank her in a way. But then I have a cousin that's also gay. His mother did it the opposite way. You know, she wanted him to be the sissy. You know what I'm saying? So he became a sissy. You know what I'm saying? But I guess he became that way because he perceived it as being my family's okay with it. You know, my father always said, I don't care what you be, but as long as you be good at what you're going to be. You know what I'm saying? So I think it kind of, honestly, I think it helps a lot if your parents are involved and, like, you have some sort of guidance. And if you don't have guidance, then you kind of at the whim or predators, I don't want to say predators or elders in the scene, or somebody you might take as a female, or the mother and father that are only, no shade, 3 years older than you, that don't know no more than you do. You know what I'm saying? So that's mm-hmm. why I seem to see a lot now, too. Because, you know, I hate to find out that, you know, like my child said that he has a daughter. Like, he's like, that's my daughter. But your daughter's only a year younger than you. That's not your daughter. That's your sister or brother, however you want to label it. Because you need to tell them or be able to tell them or guide them, and you can't guide them if you're doing the same thing. You know what I'm saying? So that was all I'm thinking, Naima. I mean, if you really wanted to peel out of it, maybe you should. I mean, have you ever looked into the process of peeling out of it?
Mm. It's going to cost a little too much money. But, I'm good now how I am because I've accepted it.
Okay.
Okay. But,
I've definitely accepted it. You know, I mean, you know, it is what it is. My whole thing is it's just that I want to get grounded. Have a nice, really good job, a fab job.
Have you went to school or anything to make that happen?
I was supposed to be going back to school with Alexis, but I didn't do it because of other reasons. But I wanted to get other things that were more prominent in my life prioritized before I went to back to hair school. So that would be the only, you know, reason why. But Alexis definitely was on my case about going back to hair school, which she's damn near done now. But I didn't because there was other things that was prevalent in my life. But I'm working things out now, you know, for to better myself.
Right. Okay, that's cool.
I think that would be the last thing that would really complete me with this transition if I could just have a really, really good job, you know, and be secure somewhere.
Okay, but what about just getting a job, period? Not a really, really good job, but just starting
just a
off
job,
with a
period.
Little bit.
Yes, Lord, something
yeah,
legal,
a little
honey.
Bit of stuff.
Mm-hmm. And I can come off the meat market.
Okay.
Right.
All right, Enrique, thank you so much on calling in again. Yes?
I got something to say that Enrique just touched on. You know how you have a friend of the family and you call them aunt. Their daughter, which was like my cousin, she called me one day and it was kind of surprising because, like, it took my family a long time to kind of go ahead. It's not that they accept me, but they just finally, like, look, we love you and we don't want you to go nowhere because you're still the same person. We don't have to accept it to love you and to respect you and respect who you're with. Now, she called me out of nowhere, just out of the blue, after being out for like 7 years, and she was like, you know,
I think that my I think my daughter is gay, and I'm like, why are you calling me? You know, I was like, why is she calling me, telling me this? Like, I thought that they was supposed to go to she always like, and it was like, it was my fault or something. So I was getting ready to like let her have it, but then she was like, I just wanted to ask you, what do I do to make sure that my daughter don't go down like a wild path? Because all she knew about lesbians from where we was from was like, you know, they run away from home around 16, you know, they start dealing in drugs, they start just, you know, doing all kinds of stuff. That's all she knew about the gay life, you know, living with a bunch of more girls and stuff and getting all into stuff. So she asked me, she said, what do I do to make sure my daughter don't do that? And, you know, Enrique brought up a good point. If any parents out there listening to this show or anything like that, I'll tell you just like I told my family. Love your child. Love your child for what, you don't have to accept it, but love them. You have to step back and say, now look, I don't accept it, but what I don't need you to do is to go down the path to where you're not successful and you're not able to take care of yourself. Still do for yourself. Make sure that you are able to be a functioning, you know, a functioning person in this society. And it's not that you're accepting it, it's that you're showing them that I love you and I don't want you to be out there just crazy and wild, because the minute you start shunning that child, then that's where you get a lot of rebellion from. So I just thought I would touch up on that. If you would show them love, it's not that you're accepting them, it's like you love and you respect them, you know, and they can only respect you for that too.
Okay. Well, thank you again, Kayla. Let me go to a couple of calls really quickly. 215-278, you're on the air. Okay, caller. Go ahead, Alexis.
Okay. I don't know. Y'all hear the train in my background? Shut up. This is my thing. I'm not going to say I have a problem with people who make excuses for their failures. People want to blame this, that, next, and the third for their failure. We need to learn how to start taking responsibility for our own lives, for our own decisions, for our own choices that we make. A lot of us, when we come to this lifestyle, we want to feel like somebody owes us something. We want to feel like people have to give us this and give us that. If you don't earn it, you don't work for it, you don't deserve it. My mom used to say to me, for a man does not work, he does not eat. So a lot of girls and even guys, we get lazy. We would rather vogue all night, go to a ball till 7 o'clock in the morning, versus going to look for a job. So then we have to survive. So then what's the next step? You start escorting. That's the easiest cop out in this lifestyle. I commend everybody. I mean, because I've done the whole, of course, I've done the whole craft thing, and I'm not saying that, well, shit, I am proud of what I did. Fuck it. But it's just like, people have to learn how to just, bitch, stop making excuses for yourself. It's not no one's fault but yourself. You didn't want to go get up. You didn't want to be a responsible adult. You wanted to take the easy way out. So it's not the scene's fault. It's not nobody's fault but your own. Because I'm sure just about everybody on this phone, their parents instilled in them the right and the wrong things to do. But we chose to disobey our parents and do what the fuck we wanted to do. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. You know what, Alexis? It's funny that you say that, because believe it or not, I've never been the one to lie about anything when it comes down to, you know, this lifestyle or whatever. But mm-hmm. when I came out and I seen the girls that, whether they escort or either like they was,
you know, doing something for quick money, because I'm going to let you know something. Quick money is very, very, very tempting, because me personally, when I was young, I had a problem stealing. Whether it was chocolate kickball, a Snicker, or whatever, I'm going to get it. If I wanted it, I wanted it now, and I didn't want it. So that made me feel like, you know what, I always going to have a job. And I prayed a long time ago when I was a little boy, Lord, if you make it to where I don't ever have to steal again, I will never steal again. But I never prayed about quick money. And I've seen how girls make quick money, and when I have ran across some hard times, when I tell you it was very tempting to go and try to make some quick money, because I'm not a bad-looking bunny by a long shot. But it was just within myself, I was like, bitch, I'll eat noodles. Bitch, I'll eat peanut butter on fucking toast before I just go out there and do it. So I just didn't do it. So, you know, I can see where that fast money can really tempt you, and I think that's why I thank God every day that I ended up, you know, that I ended up in the place that I am now, to where I don't have to do that, because temptation can be very strong when it comes to fast money and getting it. So.
Mm-hmm.
We have a private caller on here.
Oh my Lord.
I don't know what y'all talking about, but my son, he thinks he a walk, and I need some help.
Mona, I can't. Not tonight, Mona. Only on Tuesday.
Don't give her to us on Tuesday nights. No.
No, she can go to Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm too quick to send people over here to Wednesdays. Amina, did you want to say something again? Did you press one again?
Yeah, I did. Actually, this is like really, really, really off topic, but just like briefly. How? Because right now I'm in the process of transitioning. And like I mentioned before, my family, they know, but then they don't know. So it's like my issue is letting, like, it's like confirming specifically to my mother that, yes, this is something that I've been doing for months. Because the reason I find it hard is because when I first came to New York and I was doing everything on my own, you know, I was holding out a job as well as an internship. And being in school, she told me that, you know, she was proud of me. So it was like for me to hear those words, I waited 25 years to hear that. So for me to tell her, well, I'm transitioning, I don't want that to set us back. Because we bump heads a lot because we're so much alike. And I know for me to hear those words, I guess I do feel guilty for doing something that makes me happy, or, you know, so it's like I'm fighting with myself too, like, should I just tell her or should I just, you know, keep what I've been doing? Because lately I haven't been communicating with her at all. And that's because, you know, I'm starting to notice things, and then, you know, people are starting to, like, comment and stuff like that, like on Facebook, if I post something, you know, like relatives and stuff. So it's like, I don't even know if they're telling her, you know, oh, you know, well, your son has, you know, it's like, I don't know. So it's like, for me, I'm really nervous because I don't want to be a disappointment to her.
Alexis, you
want to
do this one? Thank you,
Amina. Well, where's Jahira?
Well, she is there.
Yeah, where's Jahira? Jahira, why don't you do this one? Jahira. Yeah.
Yes.
Why don't you help Amina out with her question?
Okay, Amina, can you condense the question for me, please?
Basically, what I'm trying to, like, confirm with my family that I am transitioning. Now, it was something that I mentioned to them, but they didn't take it seriously. But mm-hmm. I've been in the process of transitioning for, like, 4 months now. And I know that it's time for me to tell them, because they won't either want me to come down back to Atlanta to visit, or they want to come here. So it's like, I don't want there to be a shock factor, or, like, you know, a big surprise that they did not know. And it's like, I don't know how to tell her, because out of everybody else that's in my family, it's like my mother, she's the main one that I need to tell.
Let me ask you this just before I get into my answer. is your transition at this point just a visual thing, or are you also chemically transitioning?
I'm just saying I started hormones June 28th.
Okay, so there we go.
So it's, yeah, it's...
That hurt your heart, but
help her
out a little bit.
Yeah, I'm getting there. Honestly, the whole process of transitioning it's a coming out process for everyone involved. As the sooner you can start telling her that you know what I mean, that and explain it in a way that acknowledges the child that she had, but forces her to deal with the reality of who you are. Either by giving her resources like PFLAG, resource, I don't know where you're located, but there's a ton of local stuff in the NYC, the tri-state area. And really just sit down and have the conversation with her and prepare her for what she's going to see. Sometimes the reality doesn't sink in for her parents until they actually lay eyes upon it. So if you can get an open dialogue going now and begin the road to bringing her to a place of understanding, by the time it actually becomes a visual thing for her, it theoretically could get a lot easier by then.
Yeah, what her issue is has been, though, it has taken so long for her, and I know who the caller is because she shared a lot of stuff with us before, but the bottom line is it's taken so many years alone just for her to come to grips with, you know, the mother and the child relationship because of things that happened in the past. And that there was, you know, a time when the mother felt a certain way, you know, as the child because of things that happened to her. So after all so many years, Amina has been battling those issues alone to get to gain the love and the respect from her mom in a mother-child relationship. Then she had to deal with being gay. And then, you know, the fact of the matter is that she finally, as of recent, heard those words from her mom that I'm proud of you. And now it's like, here we go again. She has to do another battle. Mm-hmm. And she's like really not knowing, like, here I go again. This is another battle I got to do with my mom. And I just finally am starting to gain that respect and love from her. But what is going to happen now when she finds out that I'm going through transition? So Amina has a lot going on with
that. That's a lot on your plate, honey.
Amina, let me say this to you. Me and my mother haven't had the best of relationships. My grandmother raised me. Even when my mother moved out of the house with my grandmother, I told my mama not to pack my clothes because I'm not going with you. I'm staying here. Coming up through the years, my punishment... When I was disobedient, my punishment was to be sent to my mother's house. So that would tell you what kind of relationship we had. High school, of course, I stayed with my grandmother, even up until I moved to Atlanta. I started my transition in 2005. It wasn't until January of 2010 that I told my mother that I was living my life as a female. Even with times when I would go home, I would put on jogging suits and, you know, stuff to try to, that was more of a unisex type of thing. You understand what I'm saying? Because I was in fear of what my mama thought or what she would, you know. So it took me, like I said, to get locked up. And I know, don't get me wrong, because I was comfortable with who I was, but it was just her and being from a small city, people tend to fear what they don't understand. So I feel like now, since you are at the beginning of your transition, if you would talk to your mother and let her know what's going on, not only would it be easy for her, but it will probably be easier on you also. Because you don't have to live behind any curtains. You and your mother can build hopefully that kind of relationship where any kind of, you understand what I'm saying? Because to me, I feel that I will feel, even now, when I call home, my mother still calls me her son because she hasn't accepted it. Here it is, I'm going titties and shit. She's still like, hey, it is what it is. But I have moved on from that. I'm past that. And I've been transitioning 5 years. Well, I got in drag in 2005, and I just started recently. 2010 was when I started taking hormones seriously. I would take a shot here. You understand what I'm saying? But now that I'm, like, take my own prescription and I go get my moles and I take my shot every 2 weeks, now that I'm serious about my transition, it's like I wish I did have my mother here with me to go through this transition, or even just to be able to sit down and talk to. You understand? And it may not work out in your favor. Sometimes you never know. Just, I would tell her, me personally.
Okay.
Either she's going to, you know, accept it or not. It's no sense of hiding it. You got to live in denial and deal with the problems by yourself. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's like, for me, I got used to not growing up with my father. But to fix the chance of my mother saying, okay, I accept the fact that, you know, you did say that you were gay, but the fact that you're changing your gender is something that I cannot come to terms with, you know, because
right.
I have siblings, you know, so
right.
that's
I
just
understand.
Like,
my mama told me, she said, you being gay is fine. This is before I told her, as long as you don't decide to dress up as women's clothes. I looked at her and laughed. Because I already knew where I was going.
Okay. Amina, thank you so much. We're going to go to a couple of other callers. I keep pressing 1. 347-278.
What up? I just had a quick question. It could be a little off topic, I guess. And this is concerning balls. Do any of you have a strong feeling about age? What is the sort of appropriate age to be in the ball scene? Is it just for the young kids? Should you be out of it as you get older? I just turned 36 in July, and I walked for the first time at the latex ball, and I just love the competition and the creative aspect of it all, and just want to get y'all's take on. Am I popping?
Let me ask you a question, because we're not going to go into that topic as far as ages and stuff go. But why did it take you so many years to get involved with the ballroom scene?
I just never really hung around people that was into it, so it just never it was something that was really on my radar too much.
And was it because you were still, like, in the closet, or were you coming out
I came out when I was, like, 21, and, you know, my family was cool and everything. It's just, you know, the guys I hung out with, I guess we'll probably be referred to as Butch Queens or whatever. Just, you know, when we private in our own, you know, somebody's house, you know, we'll walk runways and bullshit and vogue and stuff like that. But when we in the street, you know, when we in the club, we in the corner and everybody's just, you know, straight face and all that type shit like that. But just coming into my own more as I got older, I'm just branching out, doing different things. And, yeah, like I said, I'm into makeup, so that pretty much drew me into the whole creative and aspect of things. So that kind of got me into the ball this past.
Okay. Well, maybe towards the end of the show, we'll touch up on that topic. But we're going to try to stick to the same topic right now, that we're, you know, tonight's topic first. And then, you know, towards the end of the show, we might touch upon, you know, a couple of regular questions and stuff. Because there's some other callers that have their hands up, so I don't want to take it to a whole new level. But I'm going to keep you right there, caller. We'll come back to you. 404-207, you're on the air.
I want to ask a different
question, please. 404-207. 770-374.
Hello, good morning to everyone.
I want to go back to the caller. Was talking about her, about talking to her parents and her transitioning. And I was just thinking that sometimes it's easier to write it in the letter. You know, it's not always easy to talk in person about what you're going through because they may not understand, especially when they've already had to deal with one aspect of your life and they finally get comfortable with that and now you tell them something else. So it's easier to kind of put it in a letter. You know, I started transitioning really early, like in high school, and I remember sitting in, my mother was in her bedroom and I was in my room and I graduated like 1990, so I'm a little older than most of you, but I started writing a letter to her, just explaining to her what I was feeling. And she came into the room and she was like, you know, I love you. I love you no matter what. No matter what you decide to do, I know that you've been going through some things I could tell, and your personality things have been different. Now, my father, on the other hand, was different because my parents are Jamaican, so it was a little difficult talking to my father. But a quick story, I was at college in Boston, and my parents came up to visit me. And I was getting something to eat. My father was outside smoking a cigarette. Mother and I were inside. And these guys came in. And I was ordering my food, and my mother was ordering hers, and they started to laugh. They were laughing. Now, at the time, I didn't know what they were laughing at, and I wasn't paying them any attention, but they walked outside, and my father heard them. And all I could see was my father's hands going up, and he's bumper-clotting, and I'm wondering, what's he saying to my mother? What's wrong with Daddy? Why is he acting like that? And when we got back in the car, he never said anything to me and didn't mention what they were talking about. And probably like 15 years later, when my boyfriend and I went home, my father reminded me of that story. He was like, he was watching Tony Ramos on television, and he had said to, he was, in part of a seminar, he was like, well, close your eyes and go back to a time that you remembered where you felt like your child was right in the decisions that they made and you were against it. And he went back to that time when those guys were in the restaurant, outside the restaurant, but they were talking about me. And he said for the first time in his life, he realized that it was my decision and that I was happy and that he could see my happiness and that he couldn't stand in the way of that any longer and that he saw other people making fun of a decision that I decided to live my life on and how dare they judge me. And, you know, it took a minute and I was crying, kind of emotional, because he had never called me by my girl name. He wouldn't even address me that way. When he would see me, I came home after I got my implants, he wouldn't even talk to me. He would go in the room and stay in the room. And that was the first time that he identified that I was living for me and that I wasn't living to appease him or to please my mother, but I was doing it for myself. And to that caller, sometimes our parents have to see that we stick to who we are, that you can't be in it one day and then out the next, that you can't do it today and then be back Tommy tomorrow. If this is who you are, you have to be consistent in it. And so your parents will respect the fact that you respect yourself. And I know for me, that has been one of the things that my family has always said, that I've always been this person, that when I decided to live my life this way, I never turned back. No matter what my finances were, no matter what I was doing collegiately, no matter what I was doing professionally, I stayed true to who I was, and it never faltered. And sometimes that's hard. It's hard to do because finances and there's so much you have to do to get this life right. But as long as you stay true to that person and you're committed to that person, your family will respect that person eventually. It may not come right away, but they will do it.
Okay. Well, thank you so much, caller, for calling in as always. I think we lost Alexis. All right. Vonna, you're silent over there. What's going on?
Nothing. I was texting my mother and on Facebook at the same time. I'm sorry.
So, anything you want to bring up about tonight's topic?
No, I just, not really bring up. I just probably make a statement. When it comes to being comfortable and worrying about your, and worrying about what people think about you, being comfortable in your own skin, whether it's transgender, gay, straight, fat, skinny, whatever, it starts with you first. So if you work on yourself and you deal with yourself, then everything else will come to play. Like, we beat around the bush and we're dancing around all these topics about, you know, what people are thinking and how they're feeling, but it starts with you. It doesn't start with, you know, the acceptance of your family. It doesn't start with the acceptance of your cat. It starts with the acceptance of yourself. And if you accept yourself and you love yourself, then you make people love you. When I came to my mother, I'll never forget when I pulled up into her house, and she had never seen me as a girl. She had seen pictures. She had heard about it from my family. And I told her, I said, Mom, outside. I said, I'm not wearing no big shirt. I'm not about to pull my hair back. I said, either I'm coming and we're going to deal with it, or I'm going to pull off, and I'm going to have to just go and continue to live my life. Would it have hurt me if she said, well, pull off? Yes. Would I still have to have woke up the next day? Yes. And when I went to the door, you know, she got silent for a minute, and she said, you look just like me. And I said, yes. And we talked, and it has never been a problem since. And my mom is the most stern Laverne, I mean, it's to be unreal. And for that acceptance, it made me feel good, but I didn't need it to validate myself. I validated me, and I knew who Amaya was, you know. So that's what people need to understand when it comes to this thing, no matter what you're dealing with. Just have acceptance of yourself.
Alexis, you're back. Alexis?
This is a very touchy subject with me. Talking about this, and I'm just reading things that people are sending to my inbox. I missed what Amaya said, and I kind of caught the end of it. I mean, what Vonna said. I'm so used to calling her Vonna.
You okay?
I missed what Vonna said, and I caught the end of it. But if I think she said what I think she said, you have to, in this life, I hate to just bring it on to transsexuals, but in being a homosexual or gay period, you have to live your life to be happy for you, no matter what you do, because you're not going to make everybody happy, and I think a lot of times that's what we have to realize as humans.
Yeah.
We have to be happy first in order for everybody else to be acceptable of the decisions that we made. Because my mother knows. I sent her a picture when I did Fashion Week, and the girl had did my makeup and stuff. She said, "Ooh, what's wrong with your skin?" I said, "Girl, I got on makeup." She said, "Oh, I thought you did something to it." And so I do things like that to let her see that, you know, I said, this is me. And I told, even in my letter that I wrote, I said, I'm concerned. I said, because when I walk out the door, I don't have no problem. You know, I've never been through the thing of people laughing and picking at you. Since I've been, you understand what I'm saying? Like people making a big spectacle of your teeth. I've never experienced that. So I really don't know how that feels. But if you're content and you're happy with yourself, everything else doesn't matter.
Who is that breathing in the phone like that?
I don't know.
It sounds like somebody. I'm not sure. Let's check on everybody. Jason, you're there?
I'm here. That ain't
Vonna.
Me.
I'm here.
Naima.
Mm-hmm.
J-Rock. J-Rock.
Is he asleep?
Hold on. No,
because he's typing on Facebook.
J-Rock. Okay, it's not J-Rock. Jahira?
I'm here.
I was Jahira.
I was Jesus.
Hello.
Is Eric still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
It was Eric. He fell asleep.
No, I didn't.
No, I did.
Okay, I'm not sure who it was. If you're listening from your computers, this is the time you might want to start calling in. 347-215-6820. We are going to be going into record mode in the next 8 minutes. If you want to touch upon tonight's topic and press 1, then we can bring you on. Where tonight we are talking about, are you comfortable in your own skin? How comfortable you are in your own skin and your own body? Do you have any regrets? As well as, do you question if it's right or wrong?
Who is listening on the computer?
So if you have the opportunity to change it, would you? I'm not sure who's listening from the computer. Hello? Can y'all still hear the echo?
No, who was
no.
it?
It was Eric.
Oh, you
huh?
Rubbo.
You
are you listening
computer?
From a computer or do you have it on speakerphone?
No, I'm right here. I'm sitting here right by my bed. My computer room is in a whole other different room.
Are you on speakerphone?
No, I'm on my earpiece.
So we don't hear it now.
I do.
You still hear it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Can y'all still hear it?
Yes.
J-Rock? Y'all still hear it?
Yes.
J-Rock is dead, but he said we can't hear him.
He can hear J-Rock. Naima? Okay, it's not Naima. Bonna? Y'all still hear it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It ain't Bonna either. Jason, can y'all still hear it? Y'all still hear it?
Yeah.
Oh, child. I don't know who it is.
Unmute it.
Unmute it.
Actually, I really do hear an echo. It's weird.
Maybe it's your phone.
My phone. Okay. All right. 786-657, you're on the air.
Okay.
786-657.
Hello.
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 Thank you.
786-657. You're right there. Say something.
Hello.
All right. Anybody want to talk about tonight's topic? Press one really quickly before we change it up. Okay. Nobody's pressing one. So, I mean, you know, we're going to leave it at that. It is a touchy subject. It is different for everyone. And as we all have come across, everyone has their own stories to share and, you know, their moments. And, you know, again, if one person out there is listening and we can help them in any way, hopefully we are doing our job, you know, and we're doing what we're supposed to do. But the bottom line is, you know, you have to find comfort in yourself. You have to learn to love yourself and respect who you are. And once you do that and you're happy with who you are, you can move forward with no regrets. And as far as the family issues go, especially in a maintenance situation, you know, I know it's hard for you, and it's been a battle for you for so many years, and it's probably going to continue to be a battle for more years to come. But, you know, that's what makes you strong. One thing about this lifestyle, as well as the transition, it does make you a strong individual because, you know, it'll change you. So hopefully it'll change you in the right direction. And that's where you need to go with it. But again, if you're on the phone line, press 1 if you want to touch up on tonight's topic. If you're listening from a computer, please call in 347-215-6820. And we pretty much will go back to this topic in a little bit if it comes back up. But now we are going to change it around for a minute. Don't forget this weekend, Watch the Throne in Washington, well, in Washington, D.C., as well as in Suitland, Maryland, hosted by Dante Balenciaga and Lisa Prodigy. Two grand prizes, is it Perfect Tens or Trilogy? I think it's Trilogy for $1,000 for the Femme Queen and Pretty Boy Realness for $1,000. You can find it all on Facebook. On the events page, it's going to be a spectacular event. Everyone, please go and enjoy. And
and please go with a positive mind, as well as leaving all the violence and the bitterness and the anger at home. So again, everyone enjoy your weekend when it comes to Watch the Throne, and also the next night, the Party Crashers, hosted by Harold Balenciaga, will be having a mini ball at the same venue. So that should be fun as well. So if anybody has any questions about the event as well, this is the time you can call in for any last minute questions. We'll try to answer them for you. Or if Dante is out there, or Lisa, they are more than welcome to come on the line and just be there for you to answer any questions as far as this weekend. So my question to everyone right now is, what do you guys feel for the Double Deuce background? Okay, what does everybody feel about the caller that called in earlier and said that he worked and walked his first mall at the age of 36? And I know we talked about it before, but maybe he didn't hear it. What do you guys feel about taking so long to walk a ball? Do you think it should be an age cap on it? And what's your personal opinion on it? I'm just going to go down the list and just kind of keep it short, not long-winded. What's your personal opinion on it, Jason?
I tell him that as long as he's well past maturity age to understand what's going on and the politics of it. So I tell him as long as he's happy and he's enjoying what he's doing, do it.
Okay, Bonner.
Child, as long as you ain't walking school bus business, he can do what he wants to do.
Oh, brother, I'm going with you. Girl, I was going to say the same thing.
Uh-huh.
Shit.
Naima, your question? I mean, your opinion on it?
You talking to me?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure he probably got his priorities, you know, together straight like that. And he looks at it as a hobby. I don't see nothing wrong with it. I mean, you got girls, honey, that's old as sin that's in the scene.
Yeah.
They still think they young.
And they walk schoolboy realness.
Oh, my God.
With bad silicone.
Okay.
Are they walking schoolboy realness with bad silicone? Naima? Naima Lee Hayden? Oh, okay. Oh, I could have took that topic so far left just now, but I'm going to just leave that alone.
I mean, come on. You know, like in the voice of Dexter, come on, you got icons out here with bad silicone walking, still walking. Oh, no.
I
love it. You got a lot of them all over the place.
Hello.
But yeah, Jazzy,
I don't see nothing wrong with it.
You have 30. I'm sorry, Naima, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, if he having a good time, he enjoying himself, child. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, and it's just something that he just want to just do because, like he said he likes the competition. He said, you know, it's friendly competition. I want to compete or whatever. Child, let that child get his life.
Okay, J-Rock.
Y'all can hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. That's why I'm not high. But
what?
I feel like. What?
Did he say he's not high?
Do you feel that there's an age gap if it's too late to start walking?
No, I don't feel like there's. I don't feel like there's an age gap. I mean, if you can still do it, then you can do it. My thing is just, you know, do it right because I'm sorry. They can say what they fucking want to say. Every time Andre hits the floor, he gives a show. And how old is Andre? You know, even though he's an icon, he still can compete against some of these younger people, and it just, he gives you a show. So
he didn't start at 36, so, like, he knew, but he know how to give a show. He not, like, learning the show.
Well, I can understand that, but I'm just saying, you know, if you feeling it and, you know, and you go out there, because, shit, I'm fucking 30, and I'm still only 3 years in, so.
Walk to school, what realness?
Oh, no, I'm not walking.
Alexis,
although, to tell you the truth, shit, some of these school boys look like they motherfucking 35 and 36 years old, but they're only 18. So for me to pass as somebody 18 and somebody looking like my father, I think I'm doing a good job. So I probably
Hold on, wait a minute. I thought she was playing. You really walk scuba around J. Rock?
No, he walks
scuba
runway.
No.
He walks European runway.
I walk European runway.
Oh, okay,
and I got a new cat in the bag. I got a new cat in the bag, but I'm going to let it out.
When are you letting out this cat in the bag, honey?
Gag.
I don't know. My leave just got approved, and some people may gag.
Gaggle-wing.
You said you got a new cat in the bag, honey. J-Rock, have you ever won a major ball before?
No, I have not. I have never won a major ball because we never had, like, that many major balls down here. I just won, mini function. And
are you trying to show us your new category?
I got a question for you guys, since y'all are the balling people. If you are a sponsor of a category and you do the promotion, you can't walk the ball, right?
No.
No.
And that's what I run into, because my thing is kind of like Dallas is about to have a huge ball, and somebody called me out, and I wanted to walk, but everybody knows about this ball. Why? Because I promoted it, and I'm sponsoring a female figure performance. So my thing is, it's like every time there's a major ball, I'm promoting. So I need to walk major balls outside of my region, and that's why I'm starting to travel. So,
Are you going to showcase your new category at Gagolian?
That's what I said. My leave has been approved.
And some people are going to gag.
So what is he trying to walk, y'all?
Between
Jason,
up
what do you
and
think
drag.
He's going to walk?
He got a little cunt inside he want to let out.
Thank you. Who said that? You're on the money.
I
already said you was walking between up and drag.
No, he's not getting up and drag. He's about to become a performance diva.
Thank you. I feel like that.
No.
Oh, you want Vogue?
Oh, my God, I can't.
Make sure I'm at my table.
And if you can't, you don't have to. That's not for you to have to.
Oh,
I'm going to tell you like I tell the rest of them, honey. I'll be at the door collecting the money. Go ahead and enjoy it.
Oh, shit.
I just can't.
Just don't come out there for my category.
I will slay you in your category.
Just finish your category.
Butch clean up and pops.
Oh, no, you can have that.
Jahira, did you want to, what do you feel about an age cap on walking balls? Do you feel that sometimes it's a little too late, or it is really never too late?
No, it's never too late.
I just feel like people need to find their category. Because if you come out, okay. Don't laugh.
Alexis, hold on. Let me go to them and then we're going to go to you. So, Jahira, were you going to say something else? You just say it's never too late?
That's it.
Okay, and Eric, do you feel it's never too late?
Yeah, I'm the same way. If you're out there, you just out there to have fun, then yeah, do it.
Okay. All right. Alexis, go ahead.
I've noticed a lot of people that started off walking one category. For instance, when it seems to me like a lot of people mature differently. So like Vonna said, that they're not walking schoolboy or pretty boy, because once you get older, a lot of boys are not. That category, pretty boy realness, is a very iffy subject, because people feel like if you're cute, you can walk pretty boy, and then sometimes they get too old, and you can see it in their face that they're not the same. That pretty boy is not there no more. You understand what I'm
saying? The glow is gone.
Right. The glow is gone. That's what it is. They don't have, they're still cute. They just don't have, because a lot of pretty boys, when they hit, they like, ooh. And then you, some of you be like, now, child, you know what?
But you know what, Alexa?
Daddy can get it.
But you know what, Alexa? Sometimes it don't even be the age. Sometimes it could just, you know, it could be just the drugs or circumstances, you know, that'll diminish their look.
Not circumstances. See, I'm not going to even act. I won't.
No, I'm just saying. I mean, you know, there's a few pretty boys
that
the drugs have definitely, you know, and you, yeah. But they, you know, they still let them through just because.
Well, I mean, because I know some that's enrolled at Hogwarts School of Wizardry and Witchcraft.
That's it.
And they're still, you know, kicking it.
I'd be like,
yes, like, eat it, turn it. And then there's some of them, Voldemort has just gotten hold to, and it's just like,
and put that mark, they put that mark, honey, the mark of the beast up on that side of that forehead.
Yeah,
he was a child that was marked but got away.
Vonna, do you have anything you wanted to touch up on tonight? Y'all need to stop. Anything you wanted to touch up tonight on a different topic or anything?
Hello.
Where's Vonna?
I'm right here. Somebody was giving me a beat. I am so sorry. Somebody was calling giving me tea.
You getting tea? Alexa's getting tea? Come on with this tea.
I know, because they all over Facebook with these questions and answers. That's what everybody's doing.
I'm curious.
Yes, be on Facebook right now.
Let's you know what? That's what we're going to change the topic to. Let's go to the question and answer game. So let me look at my timeline.
Okay, make it hot, make it hot.
I'm not in the question and answer game.
Don't do that, Jasmine.
I ain't got nothing to hide.
Mom, you playing Q&A? Let me go to your
yes,
bar.
Yes, I am, girl, and they are carrying my soul.
Well, it seems to be a questionable itchapog, honey, that's up in
my yellow cab is here. I got to go. My yellow cab is waiting outside.
Where's the question? I mean, where's the picture? Is it in the elite room?
No.
What is it, a picture?
What?
Oh, you're talking about the Lamborghini being pulled by the U-Haul.
The girls are giving Barbie, honey. It's
about?
It's a car kit.
What's a car kit? What are you saying?
You know, I guess you just, you know, buy it in pieces, something, put it together, something like Legos. I don't know. Girl.
Oh shit.
The basket, pieces like Legos.
It did very look very clayish.
That because the aft crock didn't go through.
Oh!
I guess they need to rub that magic lamp a little more.
Well, Alexis, speaking of aft crocks, you know, for the viewers that's on the line, you know, that don't know about casting spells and using magic wands, could you slightly elaborate? Will you say?
Well, they said the Earl girls use the upper nose to get the R card, ain't it, pause, and the F card didn't go through.
Mm-hmm.
But now they're Agengurg. And
okay, for those who don't speak Pidland, I'll translate.
Google it.
Okay, because bitch, I just bet.
Okay. What was said was.
No, you're not.
The number that was used to paint the car did not go through because they tried to paint the car, I guess, for whatever reason, and it did not go through.
Right.
Now, once again, I'm in New York City. So that just came through my line way, my airway. So please, don't shoot the messenger.
Right. It came through mine, too.
It been came through mine, but they not worth talking about no more.
Since they called you all types of undesirables.
Yeah, but I, that please.
Thanks for reaching out.
I guess they use that same egg and that
bitch,
same work to
look,
get that
Alexa,
body
actually,
made by
the king. You keep just whispering that.
Listen, okay. Listen, y'all had to realize that, okay, this, you know, y'all had to realize that there ain't never been a bitch that told me my ass was good.
My ass,
my ass.
My ass is my ass, bitch.
But you
Love
know what? But you know what, though? It's no shade. You know what, Jazzy? You know we had to get our little break moments, you know, because we were so serious. So, you know, we had the key, you know, for a little second or whatever. And that's my little, you know, my contribution, you know, because that little line right there, you know.
That's my contribution.
We're going to have to make that your new intro, honey.
Yes, thanks, honey.
Thanks for reaching out.
Oh, that'll be Alexis. Thanks for reaching out. But mine would be, they ain't never been a bitch that told me my ass was too much. But yeah, that's what's supposed to be, you know, whatever, you know, that's been the thing that's been circling. Now, let me say this, okay? Now, my thing is this, all right? However way you get whatever that you get, okay?
Mm-hmm.
If you know that you aren't getting your item the right way, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The last thing you need to be doing is posting and picturing anything, you know.
No,
I'm going to tell you something.
No, sis,
you
listen.
Know, I have to interrupt all of y'all. I have to interrupt all of y'all.
Go ahead.
See that be coming across my screen, and I just choose not to say it. I just really choose not to say it because I'm a promoter and I'm supposed to be on the positive thing. But the tea that just came across my screen, I just be gagging at it. I just be gagging. It's such a scandal right now. It is such a scandal about this weekend, but I'm just going to keep my mouth.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. My computer hasn't worn thin about this weekend.
The shit that be popping up on my screen, I just be like, wow, well, I just want to say it, but I just can't.
I do too,
but
I just say my ass is my ass. And
I should have been the queen. Y'all so worried about how I get my key in that little elite room and all the rest. I should have been in that room. But, you know, not that I care.
What?
The bottom line is,
thanks for reaching out.
Continue.
Alexis, do you know who the Joker is? Because last night, Kelly said the Joker and the Dark Knight will be out this weekend and at Gagaway. So who's the Joker?
I think she was just saying that. I don't
know.
The Joker was the one that cut the lights out.
See?
I got one for if y'all remember, did y'all used to watch Batman back in the day on TV?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
And y'all remember Vincent Price used to play Egghead?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't remember that.
Well, Vincent Price used to play Egghead, and he was bald. And he used to always come on when Batgirl was, you know, she only came on certain episodes and stuff. But anyway, Egghead is going to be at this weekend as well. And all I know is Egghead better stop calling everybody to fuck up trying to get them to come to day ball because they not coming to your ball.
Stop.
Getting the calls that y'all keep trying to get them to come and pull them away and just stop. Give up and stop.
Jasmine, so you said Egghead going to be and watch the throne commentate this weekend, but he's trying to get people to come to his ball the weekend of Gagawin. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Oh, nobody got no time for no buffalo wings.
Yeah, thanks for reaching out.
Ooh, Wait, Jason, what you said?
Ain't nobody got no time for no buffalo wings.
Thanks for reaching out.
Girl. Ain't nobody about to listen to paint dry.
Dick is good. Dick's delicious. 24 flavors and nutritious. Pick it in your butt. You can pick it in your back. Anywhere your head is a nice little bag.
Please send that to my inbox.
I really think, no, in all honesty, I think it's really rude that, you know, you contact individuals and try to maneuver them and pull them away. Allow these people to pick and choose their balls wisely.
Right.
You know, the way you're supposed to gain your audience is through your categories, through your judging, and the support that they give you.
Mm-hmm.
You're not supposed to sit here and try to maneuver, lure them, and all the rest of that stuff. That's not right. And I think that's showing a tacky side of it. And I'm not just speaking about this one. And I'm speaking about all these, you know, all these things that are happening right now within the ballroom scene. It, I think it's just completely nuts. Let people want to come
Right. Lord, Alexis, what then happened?
What happened now?
The girls ask a question. Let me ask Jahira.
Jahira.
Hold on.
What's up? Okay. Vonna, are you there?
I'm here.
Jasmine, let me ask y'all a question. Why do people feel like, okay, when you put yourself in a position where you're always in limelight, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, if, once you get in limelight, people are going to talk whether it's good or bad.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do things to people, why do people, especially people in ballroom, why do people feel like they shit don't come back to them? If for instance, I'm gonna use me for an example. I read, but I can take whatever comes back.
Right.
I don't take it personal unless it's something personal. You understand what I'm saying? If we're reading about ballroom, you can say, "Oh, well, bitch, you walk a ball since 2009, oh bitch, I don't give a fuck. I mean, 2000. When was the when we was in New North Carolina, Naima?
You said
2011, 2010, somewhere up in there.
Uh-huh.
But when people read you back, why do people start taking it personal?
Because they can't take a read. Like, you can't give one though. You shouldn't dish it out either. But most people
can't
take a read.
It.
But people feel like you. Oh, why are you always attacking me? Why, bitch? Nobody's attacking you.
Bitch, grow up. How about that?
This is a part. My thing is, Pepper LaBeija, all those girls. They was being shady on Paris is Burning. So here it is, almost 20 something years later. What the fuck make you think things have changed? Anytime you read a bitch and a bitch comes back for you, or just any bitch, because you put yourself in the limelight, why the fuck do you get... I don't understand why people get sensitive about this shit.
And then delete you from their pages when they get sensitive.
But you know what?
Or block
you.
Oh, that hurt my feelings.
It's true that you brought that up, Alexis, because, yeah, back in the day it was very different. But right now, it seems like everybody takes things so damn personal. They can't take it. They can't handle it. And even when I was creating the Gagoline flyer and how I was really trying to make it hot and how I really wanted to try to write my categories out, I didn't want to write them out a certain way or do certain things because I was like, if I do that, they're going to take it personal or somebody might take it personal. And it's like I really felt that, like, God, where's the sternness within the individual? Where's the confidence within the individual? Why is everybody taking everything so damn serious?
Mm.
Somebody fix their phone. 786-657, you're back. You ain't say nothing before. You want to speak now?
Hello. Good night.
Good night.
Good night to you too, baby.
Thanks for reaching out.
How y'all doing?
No, he's trying to speak. Hi.
Oh.
Hello, how are you?
How you doing? I'm good.
Hi.
I have a question in regards to the whole transgender topic that Shea was talking about earlier. My lover for 6 years, he lives in Chicago, and I need to know how to deal with the situation. We broke up, but we broke up off good terms or whatever. And he called me, and he was like, well, he thinks, you know, he's going through his whole transgender process. And I'm like, all right, whatever you want to do is fine. I'll be with you. You know, I'll support you and all that. But my problem is that he calls me, like, every other week.
Uh-huh.
And he's on hormones now. He calls me, like, every other week. He don't know what he wants or, you know, like, okay, this week he wants to be a boy. And the next week I'm like, all right, whatever you want to do, I'll support you. And then the next week he'll call me, well, I'm back on my hormones again. And, you know, I look at my little boy pictures and he's saying to himself, what is he doing to this little boy or whatever. And it's just on and on. It's constant. And I really don't want to leave him out there. I mean, really, it's really getting on my nerve now. And I'm like, you know, he just called me today and was like, and I went on his Facebook page and I saw put up all these boy pictures or whatever. And I'm like, oh, God, he's going through his process again. And he called me like 10 minutes later and was like, I think I want to be a boy again after, you know, 4 months of, you know, hormones or whatever. I think I want to be a boy again. And I'm like, all right, whatever you want to do, I'll support you. But I'm really, really getting tired of it because this is, like, going on, ongoing for the last 6-7 months, and I'm really, like, over it. And I really don't want to leave him out there because, you know, his family's not there for him or whatever, and I really don't want to leave him out there. What do I do in that situation?
Understand that his hormone therapy is definitely putting him through a lot of mental changes.
Mm-hmm.
His hormone therapy plays with the head a lot. Puts you through a lot, especially emotionally. So understand that it may not be necessarily him in general, but he's just going through a lot, and he probably needs you and many more in his corner now more than anything.
I'm really getting over this. I mean, he calls me like every other week, and he's going through these different stages, and I'm like.
And that's what is going to happen. All the girls on here can vouch.
Yeah.
Or that Naima, you know, Alexis,
Jahira,
everybody can vouch that it takes a toll on you.
And Jason, too.
And me, what?
What do you say?
My kids.
Go ahead,
so just stay there and support him until he finally decides what he really wants to do?
I think it's more.
I'm gonna let you talk, but I really want you to say this first. If you're gonna support her, let's start by calling her and not him.
All right. Well, I mean, that's true. You're right. I'll say that.
Go ahead, Alexis.
The HRT, as Jasmine said, it's a very psychological thing. So maybe it is just him going in and out of the hormones. And once the hormones, hopefully, once he gets them in his body, because I'm sure if he made that decision to go through HRT, he knows what he wants to do. But just getting them in your body as a normal thing is like he's fighting. So I think basically what he needs is, like Jasmine said, he needs a support system. And that's what I was trying to tell Amina going through this process. It's best to have support. I didn't have the support of my family, but thank God I did have friends who were not just going through the treatment, I mean, going through HRT, but just people to support me, period. My kids call me crazy and, oh, this bitch crazy. Oh, Lord, she not took a pill. She not took a shot. Y'all better watch out. I mean, and it'd be like.
The older Bush queens always say she's having a femme queen moment.
Yes. My
queen moment.
I would take a shot and. For the next day or two, my kids would stay away from me.
Yeah.
Because I was unbalanced. But I'm better now.
All right. And make sure, you know, whatever your friend is doing, make sure she's, you know, she's not overdoing it and, you know, she's just, you know, going kind of crazy with it because a lot of the girls can overdose on that as well. And it really takes a toll on their bodies and stuff and their minds. So, you know, it's she just needs a little support. Maybe she needs
Should I have her to listen to this radio program?
Oh, she could definitely call in.
Okay. All right, man. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Thanks,
Marie. I got a question for everybody on this phone.
No, I need you to back up because I missed something.
You going through HR too, Jason? Go ahead, Naima.
How do y'all feel about Butch Queen?
Hold up, Janae. I just got an inbox and it says, "Honey, you still go through your emotional moments like you on your period."
I would get very agreed, honey. But how do y'all feel about Butch Queens who getting dragged and they go as far as getting their face pumped or maybe getting, you know, like a little bit of work or whatever, and then they get over it. They live their lives as, I guess, part somewhat film queen, drag queen, whatever, 24/7, and then they stop and they date the film queens.
So what now?
Basically, she's saying, what do you think about film queens dating recovering film queens?
No, that's not what I said. I'm saying butch queens because I've come across a nice amount of butch queens that have went as far as getting getting their face done, maybe getting a little body work done or whatever, and now they're not film queens anymore. I mean, they're not dressed. They back as boys and they dating girl and they dating the film queens.
Love is love.
Yeah, I was about to. You just took the words out of my mouth. You know, one thing I have to agree with is I can't stand. I just don't like the labeling. I don't like the labeling at all. And you know, I just try to live my life where I'm not labeled and no one around me is labeled. You know, if they love each other or two people are trying to find love. You know, a lot of the girls, like we said earlier, we were all battling issues as far as finding love and not knowing who was gonna love us and stuff. So if someone could find someone to love them or whatever, I don't care who it is. I just wish them the best. That's just my opinion on it. The hell, I've seen, like Alana said, people get out of drag. They've gotten out of drag, and they started dating, femme queens and stuff. They were a femme queen, and they stopped taking their moans, they stopped doing this, they went back to being a butch queen, and then they went, they were dating a femme queen, I mean, we see it. It happens.
Mm.
Would I partake in it? I don't.
No,
I was just curious. That's all.
Jahara is
so
going in on these
numbers. Let me ask you a question, Naima. Was your date a femme queen?
You said tonight? Was? Say it again.
Was your date a femme queen tonight?
Bitch.
A ex femme queen.
Have been coming for me since I've been ordered. Every time I go to, no, it wasn't a film queen. It was actually a butch queen.
That used to be a film queen.
No, he never used to be no film queen, but he's a butch queen.
He used to play in drag.
And he was Pretty Boy Realness. I'm not going to say what house, because then, the girl, I know how the spies would just go in and just try to find him. But he happened to be... He happened to came up to New York last night, and he called me or whatever today, and he was like, because I had been had a crush on him. I had said little things to him or whatever like that, but, I ain't never, like,
he wasn't supposed to date in your house.
He's not in my house.
Okay, so we know he's not an Ebony, and we know he's not from New York. Okay, go ahead.
Anyway, we had a nice dinner. Move it on. Did you
stop that conversation quick.
You tried to get it. We had a nice dinner in Manhattan, and then I went over to this hotel for a light nightcap real quick, and then I came home.
What's a nightcap? What you did there?
Hold on, wait. You went over there and got some nice cap. What?
No, I didn't say that.
J-Rob,
you have to go to school.
Hold on, J-Rob?
Yes.
It's time for you to promote. Go ahead.
It's time for the who?
It's time for you to promote.
Do your one, too.
J-Rob, how you doing? Your safe sex commercial. Time to promote.
Why's no one ready?
Oh,
about
okay.
Your Trojan
I'm just
child.
Saying, y'all said promote.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Y'all gotta use Trojan. Yeah, y'all gotta use Trojan Bearskin condoms, latex with Millennium ID Glide, because it feels good. You gotta keep checking to make sure that it's on.
Okay, Naima.
And I'm the one that's going through hormones. Okay.
Naima.
Well, I mean, I was done, you know, then I came on home.
So you got Trojan left.
Well, girl, you said that really quickly, so maybe, you know.
Because she had to be on a show, so she had to come home really quick because she had to get on
the show. Right, I had to be on the show because other than that, honey, yeah, the nightcap would have definitely continued. But I had to come home, you know, to be professional.
Bitch, I had a big damn show right from that nightcap.
I wouldn't have made it on the show, honey.
Because there ain't never been a...
Okay, because it ain't never been a pretty boy like this one, honey. That can't.
Bitch, please.
Oh, my
to the window, to the wall. To the quick one down these balls. Oh,
ooh.
These fingers crawl.
Oh, Jesus, it's a biscuit. Let him slap you up.
But no, he wasn't. No, the reason why I asked, because I've always been curious, because I come across butch queens that, like, really be into the girls that, you know, used to be femme queens, or, you know, they were femme queens, but they had, you know, my whole thing is just like, ooh, turning around and looking. I know love can come in many forms and different ways and stuff, like shapes and sizes or whatever, but I just know me, like, I'm not a person that's really, really heavy on the whole, like, look of it, because to me, what really would get me is one, if you don't come off to me sexually, the first conversation. If you can hold a conversation with me and don't come off sexually with me, that's an A-plus for me. And you have a job, that's even better for me. But then I do like to have nice piece of eye candy, you know. So, you know, if I want to turn around in the middle of the night, you know, look at you or kiss you or something like that. And it's just like turning around and looking at, even though you may be a boy, but you know, your cheeks are about as big as mine.
You looking at cone when you
right? It's like, you know, I'm looking at bad silicone. You know, that would just be like, like, you know, I don't feel like I could perform.
All you gotta do is.
But
I'm not going.
But if you. Let me be quiet.
Yeah, go ahead, Jasmine. Though, go ahead. Everybody, keep quiet. Go ahead, Jasmine. Finish what you were going to say.
No, I'm not going to say it, honey.
But he what? No, because I want to know.
No, you saying you see silicone and titties and stuff, girl. You talking about you want to peel out anyway?
I didn't say I would. Look, you know what? See, see, I knew she was going. I knew she was going to get it in. I didn't say that I was trying to peel out. I said, you know, I'm here. It's what, you know, what I've accepted it. You know, I got these $8,000 titties on my chest. Where am I going in?
Okay, we have a caller. 347-413. You're on the air.
Hello? Hi.
Hi.
Hey, I have a question to all of you. My question is, do you think that any of you could date someone that was just really unattractive, or just, you know, just not your type or whatever? Do you think that you can, like, grow to, like, be attracted to them?
I can be short, so I can go first. I believe love is love. I believe that if you love me enough and we have a connection enough that I can see past the visual, because the visual will fade anyway. It's about what's inside that makes us fall in love with you, not outside.
Yeah, I agree. Also, I'll go next.
Yeah, I agree. I still need
a
little visual.
You know, I think it's when you find somebody that you have so many things in common with, so many things that you love to share, and so many things you love about each other. You know, I think you can kind of look past the visual as well. Jason, what's your opinion on it?
I say I can. I just can't deal with. I just can't date. And y'all gonna think I'm not being ignorant. I'm not trying to be funny. I just can't date a handicapped person.
You say
I knew somebody was going to laugh. I just can't date a handicapped person.
Okay.
Well, what you mean by handicapped?
Like, I can't date somebody missing an arm, missing a hand.
Oh, like quadriplegic and that.
Right, or in a wheelchair. I just, it's just,
so
I can't.
So you can't date
because
somebody with
it's just me because I feel like I'm going to go to hell for messing with them. So I just can't do it.
So it's off with you and Nicole Unabella.
So Naima,
huh?
What would happen if you woke up to that picture I just sent you?
Oh Lord.
Let me go see.
Oh, please send it to me.
How would you feel about that?
Alexis, please send me the picture. I would pay for it. No shame.
Anybody else want to answer the question, Jahari? Mm-hmm. To be able to date somebody unattractive?
I mean, if I consider them date worthy, then they're not unattractive to me anymore.
Yeah, I think when I was younger, I was into more of looks, and now I'm more into.
I'm
telling you, I got a green dot right now, Alexis. I need to see the picture because she is falling out.
I'm more past the looks at 33. I'm more into like actually get to know a person. I had to learn how to look past looks because, you know, sometimes you meet an ugly person and they can be the nicest person in the world versus dating somebody who's pretty and you got to deal with them in there. But what the shit is just falling out over there?
Naima, share the picture.
No, I can't do that.
I had a punch on
Alexis, face. Share the picture, please.
My eyelashes is about to fall off.
Oh, my God,
laugh.
I need to see this picture.
Laugh. Can y'all make me laugh?
I'm sending you the picture, Jasmine, but listen. It was one day after school. I was on the train. I had a bad day. And I was just on the train listening to my music, but my phone was in my pocket. So I didn't realize that I had got a text message. So the text message said, I'm just minding my business and look what the people sent me. So I was looking at the picture like, what is this? So I pushed the picture and it blew up. I said, oh. And the funniest thing was the other day they was reading other group, and every time this one particular person would say something about this person, this picture would just pop up in my head and I would just bust out laughing, and I just was like, wow.
Can you please send me the picture?
I think the funniest comment was, I would pay to see something wild in this room. It was just a lot.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, God. I just want to laugh. This little boy in the official ballroom radio station chat, the pretty boy realness with the zombie shirt.
He's really cute.
Who's
trying to
say
that? Oh, you talking about the picture I posted?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Isn't
he? I want that shirt.
I'll let him know that you want the shirt.
I do. I want the shirt.
You think you don't know who he is, Naima?
Mm-hmm.
You don't know who he is.
Okay.
Naima, do you know who he is?
She said, I don't know who he is.
I think, Naima, you'll do better with the other picture down there, the little collage of the girl with the body, the push screen with all that body. This one.
Miss Manator.
I'm going to try to stick it to me tonight.
Mm. Ooh, Sagittarius. But anyways. I know that question, would you date somebody unattractive? I would date somebody unattractive.
Oh, yeah.
Like asking, would I date a big girl?
Huh? What happened?
You would date a big girl.
That's what I'm saying. That's like asking, would I date a big girl? Like, some people be like, oh, would you date somebody unattractive? I'm like, well, what the fuck that got to do with if you feeling the vibe with somebody and you really like them? What does it matter if they're unattractive, whether they're, maybe it's just me. I've never been a superficial person. So, you can be unattractive. You can be a big girl. You can be a skinny girl. You know what I'm saying? At least I know I'm going to eat.
Not all big girls know how to cook.
323
No.
So was that J-Rock?
Yes.
Oh, baby, come on. They said everything is bigger in Texas.
Ooh. The only thing big on him is his shoes.
And his
323-286 on the air.
Good evening, everyone. Can you all hear me?
Yes.
No,
don't you start.
Prepared to Miss Alexa sat there and said,
"Don't you start."
No, don't you. Now you stop your shit. Because you know, John, I don't be on Martin with you. I don't get a drive. You know, you stop.
No, but listen, like, they come to talk to me. I don't.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I'll keep it real.
Naima, was your day with Mr. Man?
Either was my
that
day
with Mr. Man. That is Naima Peace. That's her dinner date, the one in the room with the T-shirt.
Mm-mm.
It ain't Naima.
Who? What's my day who?
The boy in the room with the T-shirt. That
one.
No.
No, it wasn't him. Let me tell you something. One thing about me is...
Hold on, wait. Pretty boy. Oh, he don't stay here. Okay, never mind.
One thing I don't do, I don't kiss and tell, so y'all won't find out who the pretty boy is.
Stop.
You'll talk about the deaf boy down in the village, but you won't tell us who you went on a date with.
And speaking of him, honey, if I could take a screenshot, honey, of what he be giving to me inside my inbox on BGC...
Jasmine?
Okay. Yes.
Check your text messages.
Now, she just said that to me and said, how would I feel if I woke up in the morning, if I turned around in the middle of the night and looked at that?
All right.
You'll see why
my
eyelashes is damn near off.
Alexis, you sent it to the 0005?
Uh-huh.
I didn't get it yet.
Damn, my cupcakes look good as shit.
So, Donna, Jason, what are you doing this weekend?
I have rehearsal, but I may be at Watch the Throne.
Okay, Donna, what's your plan for the weekend?
I will be in D.C. for Watch the Throne.
Naima, what's your plan for the weekend?
I will be out and about with my pretty boyfriend.
So your pretty boyfriend won't be walking pretty boy realness at
No, he won't. No, he won't be there.
He's not about to.
And so then we'll know who to exclude from the list, Alexis. Come Monday, we'll know who was there.
He might not be a real pretty boy, Jasmine.
Ooh.
Try. He is, but he's not going there. But he will be at Gagaween.
Okay. J-Rock, what are you doing for the weekend?
Oh, I'll be in the trap, literally. It's the first of the month.
Okay. And Jahira, what are you doing for the weekend?
I will actually be washing the throne.
Not washing the throne.
That is... Eric,
I'll be right here in the motel.
Who cricket song is
in the hotel?
Did he say the motel?
He said Motown.
Oh.
Oh.
Like, what you doing in a motel?
Oh,
his phone is carrying a little bit. Who else we got? Alexis, what are you doing this weekend?
I told Dante I wasn't going to watch the throne this weekend. But stuff is still in the air. I don't know yet.
Okay. Did we go to this caller 323-286?
Yes, you did.
Did you?
Dante.
Did you want to come back
on? What'd you say, Jason?
Who?
Who's Jason?
Oh, is that Michi? Is that my child?
The one
you being a big sleep? You got school in the morning.
First of all, I don't have school in the morning. I have school in the afternoon. Thanks.
See, that's
Michi,
the problem.
What will you be doing this weekend?
Actually, I will be I'll be doing some studio work for our artists. I'll be singing some background for them in the studio.
Okay.
So are you gonna ride? Are you gonna get a ride in the Lamborghini?
Ooh. Am I gonna do
Do you wanna ride in my Mercedes?
Will you be riding in the prime Lamborghini?
You know, yes. I will not be in LA, but I will be in LA next weekend. So I'm hoping to get a ride, you know, down the boulevard or something. Hopefully, one day.
Well, maybe after 4 months of being in the paint shop, it'll finally be painted.
Oh.
No, actually, he's getting a matte wrap on his car.
Huh?
What did you say, Jasmine?
Yeah, a question just came up. I got a question. If you are a bottom that likes to get head, do it make you feel like you're a trans man?
What?
No.
What was the question?
If you're a bottom that likes to get head, do it make you feel like a man?
No, a trans man.
No, do it make you like a trans man.
If you're a bottom that likes to get head. Is that the question?
Yes. Do it make you a trans man? Do it make you feel
Why
like a
would
man?
That make you a trans man? Cause
no,
you
do
like
it make you feel like a trans man?
I don't. Okay, that's just dumb.
I know.
If you're a bottom that likes to get head, does it make you feel like a trans
man? And it came from someone dumb.
Okay.
I guess they're saying because trans men, you know, it's coochie down there.
Wait, right? Maybe he's talking to the girls.
Maybe.
Oh, that might. Okay. Oh, I get it now. Okay.
Well, honestly speaking, I love
oh, Jesus.
You said honestly speaking what?
Nothing.
Sorry about that.
No,
I digress in this question.
Ellie will tell you, honey, I don't like that talk.
I have a question. Is there something wrong with liking trans men?
No,
no, ain't nothing
no.
wrong with
Listen, it. I have a confession, and I'm going to make my confession right here on the radio. I am in love with one trans man, and I mean deeply in love. If he was to come to my door right now, I would move him clean in.
Are you talking about Miss Fang's boyfriend?
I sure am.
Oh, I like him too. He is sexy.
He is. I have always, ever since I first met him before he had all the body. He was just this little, gruffy looking boy, I thought, because he had facial hair, everything. But baby, now, oh my God.
Yeah, he is. He is definitely, he's definitely the tick. And you know who else I like too?
Who?
The one I told you that looked like Silk the Shocker, the blonde child with the dreads, the boy.
Oh, he's cute, but he ain't got nothing on my husband. I'm sorry.
Oh, child, he's so sexy too, honey. Silk the Shocker.
What about the Prodigy one?
Jasmine, speaking of Prodigy, Jasmine, no, do you remember this other one? I'm going to take y'all back. Remember the Prodigy ball that was in the Cole warehouse in Philadelphia?
Uh-huh.
I think it was like a garage or something.
I think it was a supermarket.
Okay, remember, it was Butch Realness or Trans Man Realness or something, or it might have been Butch Realness. One of them two it was. And it was a light-skinned one. They came out, and I think he was a blonde with some handcuffs. Well, he had on a suit, a black suit, and he had on cuffs. Was he a blonde?
Mm-hmm.
Or was he a, I don't think he was I think he was a blonde. Whatever happened to that light skin one? They said I think he was from Atlanta or something.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. And
whatever happened to
him? I haven't seen him in a long time. He was like, I think they gave him a father position. He was very stern and, you know, very, you know, made the house go up at balls and stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know whatever happened to him.
Yeah, I always kind of wondered that. Mm-hmm.
Jasmine, you didn't get that picture yet.
I ain't get no picture.
Jasmine over there playing.
No, I really did that. Y'all would have heard me laughing.
You definitely, going to get your keys when you see it.
I don't have no text from Alexis.
So be so okay. So let me ask y'all something, right? How do y'all with the girl with these with the femme queens who do date the butchers or the dykes or whatever the case may be? You know, I have came across one that I almost let's keep in the key word here almost would have talked to when I used to live in Philadelphia, but because of this drag queen. That was a prestige at the time. Because this drag queen at the time used to try to threaten me, give every no, I'm gonna have him, and you know she just couldn't take me because you know I was a lot softer. Even to this day, she's still a stern set, but. She how do y'all feel about the girls who mess with these butchers and these dykes, and these butchers, I don't want to call them dykes, but these butchers be messing with like other drags and other femme queens and be telling them that they like them, they love them and everything like that, and they be getting all Slade and Cameron on and everything, and they be trying to get these girls to fight over them, and when in actually you fighting over a piece of cooch. How y'all feel about stuff like that?
It's just like fighting over a boy.
Yeah, but then doesn't that like kind of like get you in the zone as if the drag queens or the femme queens are men and they fighting over you like a woman but it looks like a man?
I think it's
a subliminal read if you ask me.
No, I'm not reading. I
really
asked
it in.
Huh?
This
you
is directed.
It.
This is someone
reading.
Else specific.
You say I'm reading?
No, I'm not saying you reading. I'm talking about it's a. You ask me, it's a subliminal. You got you two film queens fighting over coochie.
Yeah,
come on, man. You think about eggs. What better way to call a film queen? What I said I would never call them.
Well, I mean, no, but I mean, well, and Alexis was like, it's just like fighting over a boy. But I just don't, you know, it just takes you back to like how sneaky girls can be.
Exactly.
That's all I'm saying.
They may be butch, but they still women.
They still women, like right. They still bleed. They still, you know, yeah. Yeah. Jasmine, you know what? You're the only one. Damn, and we can already go off the air in a minute. But real quick, Jasmine, how you feel? How did you feel? Because I know of, but I'm not gonna mention their names. But I'm gonna make it quick. But I know of girls who've gotten changes and regret that they've gotten a change. They kind of lost a little bit. How did you feel after you got, you know, you went through your surgery and everything? How did you feel after you got your surgery and even till now living your life as a woman?
Complete.
Yeah. Oh, you said complete.
Complete. That's all I can say is complete.
I feel complete too.
Shout out.
I don't feel like I don't feel like I have to hide. I don't feel like I have to adjust. I don't have to feel like I have to, you know, be ashamed or be embarrassed. I feel complete.
So, Jasmine,
well, did you show it to anybody when you got it?
Huh?
Like, did you show it to anybody when you got it? Because when people get breasts, they just want to show their breasts. Do they show their private part too?
I wasn't like that, and I was in a 7-year relationship at that time, and this happened after the first 2 years. So
I was still
5 years into a relationship after, so it wasn't like and I also wasn't living the life of being around the girls. You know, this is when I left the ballroom scene and everything like that, you know, so it wasn't. If I was showing it, it was for medical reasons, like to the doctors and stuff like that, but, you know, and to my boyfriend, but that was it.
Because I know when I used to go to Kelly Harper house, honey, she didn't have a problem, honey, and opening up her legs and showing it. It was like,
sure
it as dramatic as she looked, the coochie looked just as dramatic as her.
It sure did.
Love her down. That was
I think
best
we had
friend.
A caller. We're about to wrap it up, so everybody's going to say goodnight. Really quickly, but I'm going to go to a caller real quick. Sorry to go to you so late, caller. You just press 1-410-462.
So trans men still bleed. I'm sorry. That just was bothering me. I just had to ask that.
Oh, my God.
I don't think they do because of the testosterone that they take.
So, like, later on, I guess next week, Jazz, I want to ask you some questions about your, you know, coochie. So certain girls be so secretive, they'll be quick to show you, but it'd be, like, not so quick to talk about it.
Yeah, like, do
it.
Thank
you
for
me about my coochie. Oh, my
yeah,
God.
Like,
yeah,
like, we want to know
the
coochie.
We are not talking about the CEO coochie.
We want to get Kiana up here. Cause I want to know, do a thank you, know, did you know, what do you
I have questions. I really do have questions.
Okay,
I do.
We
so.
Talk about
okay,
her coochie. We're going
to
talk about your willy.
On Facebook in my inbox.
I can't now. The people going to know it's me, so I can't now. I'm
let's have honesty hour next week, Jasmine, on the show.
Oh, that'd be hot.
You know what? And that might be a cute idea. I do want to talk about honesty hour.
Yes. So we're going to
talk
about,
we're
talk
about all the groups. We're going to talk about how secretive people think it is. Yes, Naima, that's your job for the rest of the week. Remind me about honesty hour.
Okay.
But in the meantime, Enrique, thank you for calling in. You can take a nice one. I'll leave you right there. Everyone, thank you for calling in for tonight's topic. As always, it's good to hear from everyone and everyone's opinion, and hopefully it helps someone. But I'm going to let everyone say goodnight really quickly before we hear this thing about the bills. Jason, say goodnight.
Goodnight.
Vonna, say goodnight.
Goodnight, everyone.
Naima.
Good night.
Jay Rock.
Good night.
Eric.
Good night.
Jahira's gone. Alexis.
Remember, whatever alleyway, passageway, staircase, or back room that you go in, wrap it up because the life you save might just be your own.
All right, Enrique, you want to say good night?
Good night. Don't send me no numbers. Thanks.
All right, everyone, good night. See you guys next week. Enjoy your weekend. And again, Watch the Throne on Saturday and the Party Crashers on Sunday. Everyone go in peace and have fun. And we'll be back next week with the recap on Monday.